Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, Laird Hamilton, my hunk crush. Laird Hamilton, the most masculine of all men.
It's how it's the reason that you decided to get into to do this show. Mm-hmm. Was that one day perhaps Laird Hamilton would walk through the door?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of those pretty boys that are all shaved down and greased up and filled with testosterone and other injectable drugs. But Laird, he does it on the longboard.
Mm-hmm.
He's tanned by the Hawaiian sun, cut masculine body from running on the beach. Big wave surfer, Laird Hamilton, also inventor, has that hydro board thing where he sits up 3 feet above the water on the board on a foil.
I don't like that one as much.
Well, I'll explain why it's necessary in a moment. Angie Fitzsimmons is here. Angie's our producer.
Hi.
What's happening, Ange?
How are you?
Angie's sitting in for Rachel Perry, who's doing a pilot today. She'll return tomorrow. Unclear whether she's actually shooting a pilot or just at the airport having sex. Either way, thank you for that laugh, Angie. You're already further along than Rachel. Angie is our producer. We don't know. I don't know your journey. Do we get to your journey on the air? We did that get-to-know-yourself journey.
No.
Everyone did a song, but we also talked to everyone about how they got to where they are. For me, it's my love of Laird Hamilton and big wave surfers in general.
Mine's the same.
Yeah.
Me, I'm Angie.
Yeah, this is Angie.
I'm a producer on the Adam Carolla Show.
Such a powerful, commanding voice.
I'm Jimmy Brusca's bitch.
Imagine if she was behind you and told you to shake your ass, you know what I mean? Out in traffic. Hey, move that rig! You just peel out right through a red light. Imagine her.
In some time.
All right.
That's enough.
So, what is your story?
Where would you like me to start?
Well, where were you born?
I was born in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there until I was 25.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a truck driver.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Funny that we just talked about the on-the-road scenario where someone was yelling at somebody else.
Yep.
Truck-driving dad, blue-collar dad.
Yep.
On the road. Never able to show you the attention or love a young
no,
girl
No,
needed.
And he left when we were seven. And when
oh,
I was
really?
Seven, so, yeah.
Wow. Issues. Great.
Yeah, daddy issues.
Good.
On the road again.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure where he is
I guess
now.
That's why she tries to drown herself in booze every time we leave town.
That was once.
All right.
Still
fresh in my memory.
Grew up in Chicago, lived there until I was 25, worked in radio there for a while, then moved to North Carolina for about 5 years, lived there.
Why North Carolina?
I got a job out there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
how did you like North Carolina?
I liked it a lot. It was all right. Very slow.
You know, I grew up out here. I'm one of the only people I know who grew up out here who's in show business, and I can't figure out whether I'm ruined or not. Like, I went to North Carolina a few months back, and once in a while I think to myself, oh, here'd be a good place to ride out the rest of your life, and then I think, nah, you can't do that. You're from North Hollywood. You can't go to North Carolina. It doesn't work that way. Everyone else is coming from there to here. I can't go there. I'd have some sort of the world would slow down and fall off its axis or something, but you could live there.
No.
You enjoyed it. No, you couldn't.
No, I like living there for a while, but I couldn't live there forever.
You couldn't go there full
very,
time.
Very, very slow place. All great right. people, but slow place, yes.
So you worked there. You worked in radio.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Morning radio.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you've worked in morning radio before.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And then about 9 months ago, I moved out to L.A.
Mm-hmm. For this job?
No.
Oh. Wow.
That hurt.
That's smart. I heard you moved out here for this job.
I'm sorry. Yes, this job.
So you just moved out here to do what?
My husband got a job out here.
Oh, you're married?
Yeah.
Strike two.
I know that. Strike two. And your husband works in what field?
A radio.
Oh, he does?
Yes, he does.
Did I know that?
I don't know.
Oh, I met the man, but we never discussed that, did we?
I don't
What's
think
he
so.
Doing radio?
Marketing director.
Huh. What station?
Jack FM.
Huh? Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Just up the street.
Yep.
All right.
Handsome devil.
He is a handsome
tall,
man.
Wiry sort. Probably goes about 6'3".
Yeah.
6'4".
Ooh, 6'4".
Oh, corrected.
Yeah.
Weighs about, you know, like a noodle. You know, he's like 141. 6'4", 140 pounds or thereabouts. Cool fella. Seems nice guy. The only if I have to review him, critique, if you're forcing me to be negative
yeah,
about
are.
Him.
We are.
So be it. It's not my way. The soul patch. I don't know.
Who's got the soul patch?
How old a man? 30?
Yeah, just turned 30.
We don't need the soul patch anymore.
I'm interested in guys who carry on with that kind of nonsense long after they've married and they're getting laid consistently. You know, I understand the guys who do that for a film role or essentially when you're single trying to get laid, which is essentially perpetual film role. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to play the role of a guy's trying to get laid. And so they do the patch and they do the leather wristband and they put all the goop in their hair and they do all that stuff. But once it's on, and by law, you have to get sex, shave off the soul patch, take off the goofy wristband, quit with the gel in the hair.
You just described him perfectly, all that stuff.
That's his thing,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess my only beef with the guy is he has a personal style. And I don't like that. You know, people describe it as, oh, he's got an amazing personal app. That I don't like it. Yeah. Unless the next word is assistant, I don't want to hear
then
about
again,
it.
Then again, at the other end of the spectrum, you have Brusca. So really,
yeah, know. But Brusca tries.
Which do you want? Which one's better?
I got style. I have my own style.
His own style, yes.
Atrocious.
It might
style.
Be a little geeky, but it's my style.
No, it's it not. There's no might about it. Well, and there's no little either. Just geeky.
Yeah, the point is I, you know, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't trust him.
Yeah?
Like, my wife knows I'm not on the prowl by the way I dress to go to work and the way I groom myself or don't groom myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I
don't shave. I just get up. I slap on a little cologne to mask whatever happened the night before, and I head on out to the job place. You guys got he's got the soul patch and the wristband and the gel in the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on him.
I will.
He better keep an eye on Angie, because as you made mention of Ace just a week or two ago when we were in Vegas doing the show, she got so loaded. She got, you know, apocalyptically loaded. You know?
Right.
It was
she was
horrific.
Licking.
Yeah.
She was licking people. She had to be caught literally by my count alone, five times, falling backwards. People happened to be near her to catch her.
I know.
This
it
was
got
her
away
behavior.
From me. It got away from me. Yeah. I did. That was bad, really bad.
All right. I think, just so you kids out there know, Angie, easy on the eyes as well. Dave Damashek has confided in me many a time.
Bosom me,
not bottom me. That's
no.
What you want.
Not bottom me, no.
Nice pegs.
Yeah, nice pegs. Beautiful. All right, where were we? So that's what we'll be doing today. Laird will be coming in. Richard Martin, Republican representative from the great state of Ohio. Dick Vitale calling in again. First, we wanted to talk, and then I'm going to pull a Norma Ray, and we're going to fight the man, and I'll explain how that goes. We're talking about doing a little dream analysis on the program. I watched The Sopranos last night. Basically, the whole thing was a dream, or at least half the thing was a dream sequence with Tony. And we're talking about interpreting dreams. If you call in, because it's Damashek, I think this is your idea. I believe it is. People are just waking up. I mean, look, if you've been up for more than 20 minutes, you're an a-hole in my book. And I include everyone on this staff. You should either be asleep right now or getting up. And if it is, and that's true, it should be fresh in your mind. Tell me what you thought, because I have bizarre dreams. I'm assuming everyone else does, too, right? And I'm trying to think of one of the more humiliating things you could do to me, but one would be to somehow film my dreams and then screen them in front of a large group of people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine what that would look like?
It'd be fantastic, except that you would end up spending the rest of your life. I've often suggested the same thing, how fascinating it would be to just have a reel of your dreams, except you would just never leave the house. All you would do is sit and watch your dreams.
Well, as it is, with the advent of TiVo... I'm not leaving the house anyway, but
fair
now
enough.
TiVo on your brain would be absolutely amazing if you can hook some sort of electrodes up to your head and just screen it, and you say it's amazing, and I agree to be viewed in the comfort and privacy of your own home, but if this tape ever got out, it would be beyond humiliating. either you know, you disrobing and either having massive genitalia or none at all. And then there's, I mean, for me, it's weird because things just are all over the road sexually. They're all over the road spiritually. They're all over the road. And I can't even sift mine.
Your vigorous lovemaking session with Laird Hamilton.
That's right. That's right. Although, oh, this is going to be a dream realized at about 7:30 this morning. All right. Brusca. Did you?
Yeah.
Do you have a dream, or is this Mike who has a dream?
No, that's me. I just had a quick weird dream this weekend. My grandmother is like 95 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she lost all her marbles, you know. So,
right.
But it was weird. I had a, you know, I don't remember much of the dream, but I just remember a group hug with myself, my 95-year-old grandmother, and my wife, and we were just hugging for like, it seemed like eternity.
Huh.
Ironic, ironic that well, as you describe your dream, I very nearly fell asleep myself.
Wow. Well, that's not so weird. Your grandmother, you feel like your grandmother's departing soon, and you want to get a little group hug in. See, I think dreams have been screwed up by Hollywood, because what they show you is daydreams. When they show a dream sequence in the movie, they're showing a daydream. You daydream when you're sitting in class and you're bored and the beautiful girl comes in, the new exchange student, and you look at her and you think, ah, oh, what if her and I were just swept away on a desert island? These are all daydreams. You scoring the touchdown, the winning touchdown at the homecoming game, you going out with the beautiful cheerleader, you going out with the hunky heartthrob, Laird Hamilton. Huh? Whatever your dream, you know, you being president and all that stuff, those are daydreams. The real dreams are twisted and bizarre, and they're Picasso painting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, right, yes. They're abstract.
Yes.
Yeah. But here's the thing with dream analysis. I'll say, I don't mean to undercut you analyzing, but you may as well do it, because this industry, these books and people you can go to talk, is the greatest scam there is. What hokum.
Yes.
What a bunch of nonsense. Here's what your dream means. You know, if you're falling, it means that you're afraid of love. If you die in your dream, you know, you die in real life.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of a bunch of hooey.
I always like any expert that tells you to keep a pad by on your nightstand. And when you get up, write it down. Really? That bizarre stuff?
Yeah.
I tried to F my sister again? I don't need to read that.
It means nothing. It's unprovable. Yeah. You can just conjecture about what the meaning of the dream is. People buy books and say, ooh, you know what this means? It means I'm bound to be successful. It means
You don't believe any dreams have meaning, though?
No.
I'll tell you the dream, the reoccurring dream, and I've never had any reoccurring dreams except for this one, which was sort of a theme. Although the people that have the reoccurring dreams, about your 20th reoccurrence of the same dream, don't you catch on? I've seen this dream before.
Oh, yeah.
I remember this.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have a reoccurring dream, and this is the only interesting dream stuff I have besides analyzing yours. There was a time in my life, well, it was most of my life, when I was very poor. And when you're poor, it sucks, because there's this, robbing Peter to pay Paul sort of thing. There's this, you can pay this guy, but you can't pay this guy, and you're just getting in deeper, but you don't care. It's like I owed the IRS $3,500, and I would just pay the minimum every month, which never took care of the principal, only took care of the penalty and the interest and the whatever. I'd pay him $28 a month. You can pay him $28 a month for the rest of your life, and then when you die, your parents, your kids will still owe the IRS $3,500, whatever the principal you're paying on is. But there's a lot of these situations where you owe and you can't pay, and now it's the ticket's gone to Warren and it's tripled in price, but you didn't have the money to pay it the first time, and you're getting in deeper. And my reoccurring dream would be that an animal, like an alligator or a dog or something like that, would latch on to my arm or my leg, and it would just hang on. It would just clamp down onto my arm. And the reoccurring dream is the dog's clamped on and it hurts, but I'm okay. But if I try to tear my arm out, it's going to rip all the flesh and muscle out. But if I stay here, I'll slowly bleed to death.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sort of metaphor for my life, which is I can just stand here and sort of slowly die, or I could try to make a move. But if I made a move, it would probably tear my arm off.
How old again?
Oh, man. This is probably age 20 to age 30.
Mm.
Right, and that whole, you know, never having, you know, it's a weird thing. You go to bed, you don't have car insurance, you don't have health insurance, you owe the IRS money, you owe everybody money, you have credit cards that, you know, are maxed out and everything. You just go to bed and your head's just dumping every night. And and if you go to bed with nothing on your plate, you can usually just sail through with some weird sexually confusing dreams. Let's see. Tom's got one about flying too close to the sun. Yes, Tom?
Hello.
What's happening?
Oh, not too much. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm just listening to a little Breakfast in America. Go ahead,
Tom. No, I had this dream where I'm sitting in the sky with, in the sky with the sun.
Yeah.
And the sun is shining down, but all these bottles of water have women's faces, And as it shines on them, all the bottles of water change color.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what
that is. That's it. Well, gay. That's all I got. Mark? Yeah, I don't know. As Dave pointed out, these people that claim to know what this stuff means, as if we knew what it meant to you. You know what I mean?
People get into heated arguments about, no, that's not what... Says who? Who knows right. what? It's nonsense.
Mark?
Hooey.
Adam.
Yes.
My recurring nightmare is Monday morning shows when you spoil The Sopranos. How can you do it when you talk about TiVo all the time?
Well, you make a decent point, but it's been a full 7 hours since it's been off the air. Now, come on. Let's be honest. I didn't give away too much. We know we got shot.
It was last week. It was the giveaway.
I know. I was kidding around. I don't realize how my jokes can hurt sometimes.
It was very funny.
Now, why don't you watch? Thanks, Mark. Why don't you watch The Sopranos in real time?
Putting the kids to bed, whatever. Didn't see it.
My wife was crying like a baby last night watching The Sopranos.
By the way, so what do you think?
Yes.
Is he dead?
Oh, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, Sopranos is so hardcore that to sort of tease a guy with death and then not have him die is sort of a cop-out for a show that's as hardcore as they are.
It's bogus if he's not dead.
Yeah, right. He has to die.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, right. Mark.
Take it easy.
Enjoy it tonight. Let's talk to Troy. Troy?
Yes.
You have yourself a dream?
Yeah, I've had it probably for about 15 years where someone I like never identify, or a couple of people, are chasing me through different buildings, different cities, places I don't even know. And they're always trying to kill me or do something to me. And no matter how much I shoot them or punch them or run, they're always there. It's just a continuous run for my life.
Yeah, I used to have that one, too. Also, where you have some sort of weapon, but the weapon isn't effective. It's a gun, but you can see the bullets go off and then drop at the feet of the person you're
really,
shooting
like
at.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. Ineffective. Yeah, I think that's I used to have those a lot, too, and I think there's a lot of having a lot on your plate and feeling ineffective, feeling impotent, feeling neutered.
That's the meaning of that one?
Well, anytime... I mean, to me, you know, specific dreams, I don't know if I can analyze them, but I can certainly analyze the tone of your dreams. If you go to bed and you're running from something the entire time and struggling and fighting and you can't ever get the upper hand on it, I think that's life, essentially, that's beating the crap out of you. Because ever since I started doing what I wanted to do, I haven't had as many nightmares. Dreams haven't been as difficult or as painful. Although... And I don't know, this is another interesting thing I'd like to ask young Dave Damashek this and Angie as well. The overall tone of your dreams, do you have dreams of victory?
No.
No, you don't?
No.
Ever?
No. Never.
Never. Me
never.
Neither.
I don't. I can never recall happy dreams.
Right. Angie?
I only have happy dreams. I never, like, I cannot tell you the last time I had a nightmare.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Now... I don't think what Dave and I have are nightmares. It's just the sort of painful day-to-day, life's a bitch and then you die kind of thing. I have dreams where I'm in line at the DMV.
That is well,
and they close the window and stuff.
I have eras of dreams. Yeah, sometimes I have apocalypse. The world is ending, literally. The world is ending. Sometimes they're more personal. You know, my mother is terminally ill and she died. We watch her die slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Or... Then the worst one, though, is what you're talking about, and they go on for 4 or 5 months at a stretch, these dreams, is when I can't find my keys.
Yeah.
Or I put a pen somewhere.
Yes.
And then I wake up and I can't remember. Was that in my dream? I put my keys over there. Those are the worst. Those tedious dreams.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I was dreaming that I put that pen up on the shelf.
Yeah. I never have dreams of grandeur ever. I'm always happy to be awake.
Yeah.
And even, so here's my dreams. They range from apocalyptic, like we spoke about, Armageddon, kind of meteors heading toward the planet, we're all going to die kind of things, to some almost victory kind of dreams where, oh, I got drafted by the Dodgers to play shortstop, or this super foxy celebrity has called me and wants to go out on a date, like Larry Hamilton. Yeah, something like that. But you know what happens? I never go to Dodger Stadium and suit up, and I never go on the date and nail Laird.
Hmm.
That's the thing. So even if it is what would be classified as a good dream, it still ends in disappointment. It never actually culminates. I don't fornicate with Laird. Mike?
Yeah.
You dream about celebrity encounters?
Yeah.
Who have you seen?
Just this morning, Steve Carell was trying to give me a wristwatch.
Wow. Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, he was taking his watch off to give it to me. And I think it just occurred to me that maybe he's trying to give me back the time I wasted watching the show.
Oh.
I like it.
I like it, too.
You know what would be funny, though, is if you were somebody who had dreams about celebrities, but you have bad self-esteem, so they're C-list celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, like
you don't like The Office, Mike?
I've watched it once or twice, but I didn't care for it.
All right. Well, yeah, I know. Our booker, Mike August, dreams of C&D list celebrities, and once in a while comes true.
Says August meets Coolio in Linda Lavin, TV's Alice, in
right.
his dreams.
All right. Let's take ourselves a break. Angie, good dreams, huh?
Always good dreams, yeah.
I would imagine you would be 25% happier as a human being.
Sure. It's a third of your life. It's a, you know, it's a different consciousness, but sure. Assume it would carry over.
Well, yeah, maybe it's 33% happier. Well, hold on. I got to think about this for a second. The other thing is, you know, when you do have a dream that's very negative, you sort of walk around, you carry it around with you
Absolutely.
That day. The same way, it's like, if you had a dream, I wish I could work this out, but if you dream that somebody at work or somebody you know or somebody you go to school with has a crush on you or you have a crush on them, when you see them that day, it's still on. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. You knew what I was thinking. I know you think there's something going on. You think they're a little bit closer to thinking the way you're thinking, even though obviously they have no idea what you were thinking about and who you were dreaming about. But there's a little element of that that carries through. And I would imagine if you're having positive dreams, you carry that through. And if you're having negative dreams like me and Damashek, you carry it through as well. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. And Laird Hamilton coming in, big wave rider and man's man, and married to Gabby Reese. Yes?
What a life. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
6'3" volleyball player who I've seen in person a few times, striking.
But never in your dreams.
No, but I'll tell you, imagine those two. Imagine wedging yourself between those two beautiful beasts. All right, we'll
sure
take
they'd appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll be back after this.
Now it's time for free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, I'm the mother of two children, ages 7 and 4. In a recent child development class, there was a discussion about sex education for small children. My professor mentioned that if children aren't asking questions about sex, we should initiate talks with our children. She also said that children should have the sex talk by 8 years old. Is this correct? What's the best age to have the sex talk, and is there a limit on how much we should talk about? Sylvia in San Diego.
Dear Sylvia, much depends upon the level of maturity of the child, which can vary from individual to individual. Parents should certainly use correct terminology when talking about body parts. It's best to arm children with the knowledge before their hormones kick in. I agree with the professor that by the age of 8 or 9, some discussions of puberty should be introduced. If you wait much longer, your children will hear the facts from their friends instead of from you. And too often, the information they receive from their peers is incorrect.
Free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Mm-hmm. Fought to a draw with Haseem Rahman this weekend over in Atlantic City. Laird Hamilton, big wave rider, is coming on. First, a little business. Well, first some business before that business. Big Tad. Big Tad has about a job and a half to do over here. One of them is bring me my V8 juice and my water every morning and have it waiting for me when the show begins. That happens. I'm going to be very generous here and say 75% of the time, but a day and a half out of the week, it isn't there. And as we've discussed many times, everybody thinks bad employees are people you have to explain their job to, or you have to tell them how to do this or how to do that. It's not that. It's the ones you have to tell over and over. How much How much time is wasted every year in just redundant conversations? Where you explain to somebody, listen, I need you to do this, and then a week later, you have the exact same conversation with them, and then 2 weeks from then, you have the same one again. You just keep having the same conversation. It's the inconsistency part that makes you a horrible employee. It's not the part where you're late every day. It's the part where you're on time Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then you're late Thursday, and then you're on time Friday, and then you're late on Monday. This is what bad employees do. This is what bad students do. This is what bad members of the community do.
Mm-hmm. You've upset him. He's walked off.
Well, T.S. He's supposed to have my goddamn V8 juice and my water sitting here, and it's not like we haven't gotten into it before. Mm-hmm. I've said to him three or four times, have the water, have the V8. Can't do it. That's what makes you a horrible employee. You can't do the simple stuff. You can't be consistent. You'll string together a week, and then you'll have a bad week. Then you'll put together a good week. This is what all losers do, by the way. This is what junkies do. Oh, they put together 8 months of sobriety. Boom. Then one morning you can't find them. Then they're back. Then they're off. Then they're back. I'd rather them just go off. They're actually better. That way you know you just fire them or you just write them off or you send them into rehab. But no, it's just on one day, off the next.
So you want him to forget every day?
I would like him to forget 3 days in a row, and then we'll fire him, and then we'll hire somebody who can do it. Anything's better than the 2 days on, 1 day off schedule. And then the other thing they do is they pout when you start in on them now. So you give them a very simple, rudimentary task, like have my bottle of water sitting there. And what happens? It's an all out attack on their character. Mm. I can't believe it. And there's this one too. Why am I being picked on? Why is he picking on me? Why are these people picking on me? Why are they picking on you? You're not doing your job. That's why we're picking on you. And by the way, I wouldn't look at begging you to do your job over and over again as picking on you. Same thing.
Well, he's very upset. Why'd he just went off to pen a letter to James Toney to see what
his next step should be.
Yeah. Why'd you get that D in history, son? Teacher's got it in for me. In for you in that they don't like people that don't like history, or in it for you there's a personal vendetta? That's the one I always like. That's right. You're 12. The 44-year-old teacher has a personal vendetta against you. He's known you for 3 days. All right. So where were we? Big Tad's upset. Big Tad's on the move. We're talking about righting wrongs, or at least we're going to get into that. Part of this thing, things I wanted to do on the show was use this as a pulpit to correct many of the ills of society. We talked some weeks back about the left turn arrows and how I drive through every single red. Uh-oh. Why are you handing me this, Fresca?
When you're done with your thought.
Okay.
You don't have to do this now.
But look at the clock.
It's okay.
I thought you said you wanted to go out at 6:37.
Yeah.
Well, look at the clock.
Okay, we can get off. I mean, a little bit late is not the end of the world.
All right.
Just, if you ran out of things to do or say, I just handed you a card to see you up.
Okay.
Okay. Great show. Right. A lot of fun. I didn't know where you were going. I just was trying to help you out.
Okay.
Giving you another option to do.
Thanks, buddy. Well, you said, right, the last thing you said to me before we went on the air was we'd get out at 6:37, and then at 6:36 you handed me a card to talk about something else. Yeah?
Okay.
All right.
Well.
Okay. Listen, go join Tad out there, would you? On a never-ending quest for my
VA. How many
times,
by the way, do you forget things? Let's talk about that.
Every day.
Exactly.
But so I'm allowed to do it. I'm a genius.
Well, that's not fair.
No.
You could say, you know, Tad, in all fairness to him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Go ahead. Be fair to Tad.
He does forget stuff, but we all forget stuff, yes. Including you. How many times do I have to hand you cards to remind things that you don't do?
Yeah. Every day.
In almost every segment.
Right.
So...
Right, like now. I forgot that Lindsay was going to come in here and rank the guys because we never discussed it before.
No.
Right?
That was just me trying to help you out in case you didn't have anywhere to go.
I've just got started on this path.
I know. I was handing him the card just as you were going.
All right,
this
all
is
right.
The worst game ass kids rodeo ever.
No, Brusca, here's the deal. I forget something every day. I forget 10 things every day. That's my prerogative. That's what you get to do when you get to my position. When you're Big Tad, you don't have that luxury. Not about the basics. You know what I'm saying? Now, let me say this. I know you're being very defensive here about Big Tad. Maybe you see some young Brusca in Tad.
Yeah.
Possibly.
No. Oh, a baby Brusca.
No, I just think that, you know, you get on people's cases, including mine, unfairly,
yes.
Because... You forget things many, many times.
And
many, many times.
I do forget things.
So, you know.
Yeah.
the pot can't call the kettle black.
Well, yes, it can, because the pot's name is on the door. That's number one. Number two, yes.
I mean, then you can say about anything then.
No.
I mean, you can do anything wrong, and as long as your name is on the show,
yeah,
then that's okay.
Well, that's, yeah, that's
kind
of it.
So you can stab Mike Lynch in the heart with a pencil, and it's okay.
Well, there are things that the law is not going to allow.
Please do it.
Would you like it done?
Do it.
You want to use a Sharpie, or you want to use a number two?
Seriously.
No, here's what I'm saying, Brasco.
Why would he stab Lynch when he could stab you or Ted?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He can do that.
Besides.
And then all of a sudden, I'll be literally a millionaire.
Who's going to make the stabbing sound effects, by the way, while I'm stabbing Lynch? No, look, here's what I'm saying. I forget things all the time. Never going to argue with you about that. I get to forget things because I have a lot of things going on.
Okay.
Big Tad doesn't have as much going on. And there are things Tad can forget. You know, we send Big Tad out over the weekend to go get this, that, and the other. He comes back Monday with nothing. I don't get on him on that. But there's a couple of basic things. You need to show up at this time. You need to prepare this. I've told Big Tad 8 times I need my V8, my water set up. That's all. And the only reason I'm harping on you is you just told me you wanted to get out at 6:37. At 6:36, I was just launching onto this thing that's going to set up right. The next break, and you handed me a thing and said, Lindsay wants to rank the guy. That's all.
You were just going into something as I was handing it to you in case you had nowhere to go. I was just trying to help you out. Nowhere to go. If we go a little long, it's not the end of the world.
That's right.
What I was doing.
Now we're late.
Lindsay, you can, beautiful assistant Lindsay, who did not run the marathon yesterday because she ran one here on Thursday, can rank the guys when we come back. But now I'll get into this other stuff too, which is righting the wrongs of society, as I was into.
This is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
All right, 866-901-ADAM. Now, as sort of promised, before I get going with my Norma Rae-esque quest, because I got a lot of rights to wrong, my foxy assistant Lindsay has entered the room. The leggy blonde who wins marathons and breaks hearts is going to rank the guys.
Yes.
We've decided to put almost every female comes in here on the spot. So far, everyone's taken it like a man, except for Damashek, who's been brainwashed by his mother. But go ahead, Lindsay, and okay. Be honest.
First off, I want to say I'm slightly forgetful, too. I did forget Adam's new cell phone for about 2 weeks, so...
Yeah. 17
Truthfully,
days.
I just
but
wanted
this
to
is no time to try and make amends.
Yeah.
This is a time for honesty, not to try to curry favor with the boss man, which is a mistake others who came before you have made.
Yes.
Please, speak from the heart, from the loins.
I'm going to start from the bottom up, or?
Yeah, start at the bottom.
Okay, this is hard. I don't want to insult anyone, but.
And by the way, AdamCarolla.com, you can take a look at the mostly ugly human beings who Lindsay's reviewing, and
yes.
Myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I have to put at the bottom. It's kind of in between Tad and Mike.
Wow.
I have gone out with Tad before.
You have? Yeah.
I just dropped
the S-bomb on the air.
And I did go see Rock of Ages with Tad, and he's a great guy. I haven't had the chance to go out with Mike. He's engaged. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put Mike at the bottom.
Wow. Mike just announced he wanted Tad in on the competition so he didn't have to bring up the rear. But, wow, Mike goes to the bottom. Big Tad. Hope in lard floats. Yes.
So, number
he's going
four.
Up. Yes.
Tad.
All right.
Had a nice date with Tad.
Tad, by the way, evidently had a big date this weekend.
Friday night
he did.
David Alan Greer called me last night, wanted to tell me all about it. I guess he went out to see him at the Improv. Did we talk about Tad going on a date?
No,
but he told David, David Alan Greer was in on Friday. He told him on Friday.
All right, we got to figure these things out. We got to work this out. Anyway, David said she was cute and so forth. We'll get into it later. Go ahead.
Everyone else in the room is married.
Right, all right. Mike.
I had to think.
Mike will not recover from this. I got to tell you. I got to tell you, it is. I know this is. We're supposed to move along, but this is the equivalent. Let me explain something. What happened here? Mike's in the room. Mike Lynch, our writer, sound effects guy, also Damashek, myself, and Bruska. right before we came out of commercials, Mike said, well, should we limit it to everyone in the room? And Brusca said, yeah. And then Mike said, no, include Big Tad so I don't have to come in last. And this is basically the equivalent to you. You're out on the schoolyard. You're in the sixth grade. You're going to pick up teams to play soccer. You know you're going last. Well, wait a minute. Here comes Timmy in the wheelchair. Come here, Timmy. Come here. Now blow into the thing. You steer it with your breath. Blow over here. All right, now sit next to me. Okay, now I'm not going to have to get picked last. We'll take Timmy then, Mike. That's essentially what just happened there.
That happened in sixth grade for me.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry. I think it happened in sixth grade to me.
Sorry. Able-bodied Mike. Last place.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with, let's see, Jerron.
Ooh.
He's our intern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's been helping me out a lot this morning, so I'm going with Jerron.
Sure.
Then I'm going with Brusca.
Helping you out does not.
Yeah, that doesn't
should
mean
not
anything.
Factor in.
Right.
No,
he's cute. Though,
he's cute. He's a little too young for me. I
but
don't really go
looking.
For younger guys. So.
Nice looking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rather go for older. So. Jerron, then Brusca, coming in third.
Yeah, well, he turns on you. Yeah.
That's ugly.
Then I'll go with my boss, Adam.
Yeah.
Good sense of humor.
Sure.
Good advice. Mm. And then, of course, coming in number one, Dave Damischek.
All right.
Wow.
I'm glad you finally got a victory.
I'm glad we don't have to hear about it for the next two and a half hours.
I've had my victories. I mean, this is only this is a woman who has two eyes and some good sense, you know?
Yeah.
She's
sure about the sense part.
You won't talk to her for a week if you don't put her if she doesn't put
you
at top.
Pouting.
Yeah.
And by the way,
either that or you drugged me this morning.
Plus, she doesn't need that kind of tension between her and I when she puts me at number one, and then it's just me, her, and my bathrobe in my home office.
Right, exactly.
A few weeks from now.
It'd be a little creepy.
That's right.
Call it what you want. I call it justice.
And Lindsay, I've never been inappropriate with you sexually.
Never.
Thank you. A little bit would be nice, right? A little something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Once in a while. Just to let you know. Let you know you're alive. Well, that'll
have
be
ever,
your.
You're a marathoner. Have I ever run through your dreams? We were talking about dreams earlier. Yes?
Only when I'm roofied.
Wow.
I don't need dicks. We're off to a nice start.
Thank you. Thank you for your candor.
Thanks.
Beautiful assistant, Lindsay. All right. Speaking of sexual harassment, that is going to be the topic of my next rant coming up. But first, we have Elise Eberwine. Elise is the Vice President of Corporate Communications at U.S. Airways. Elise?
Good morning.
Good to talk to you again. The feisty Elise.
You're like Glover and Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard fought, but now respect.
We have a respect for each other.
A healthy respect.
Elise, I was complaining about a few months back when I was flying, I think it was U.S. Airways, where there's no, and this is true for every single commercial airline I've ever flown on, there's 14 pre-programmed stations you can listen to on your headset. None of them are conducive to sleeping. So we argued on the phone for a while, and eventually I produced my own sleeping channel for U.S. Airways, right?
You did, and it'll run in the May-June cycle.
Well, that is exciting. Hope the ratings are good. And hope we beat the Grease Man this year. And you guys, do you have my pre-recording and all that?
We do have it. I'm going to ship it out to Lindsay today.
All right. Well, I think we have it, too. Let's hear it. Should we hear it, Mike? You got it?
That, of course, was Air on the G String from Johann's.
Yes, this was the old one.
Orchestral Suite in G.
Yeah, this is what you would hear after falling asleep to the classical music, and then this blowhard would come in.
Gem of lyric melody, quiet counterpoint.
That's the whole thing. They would have classical music, and it'd be interrupted by this long-winded blowhard in between every song.
Piano arrangement in the German violinist August Wilhelm.
Why would you guys do this, Elise?
See,
it's
lovely. It's comfortably on the G string.
Here was
the lowest and darkest of the violin.
Here's what would
thus Wilhelm called it Air for the G string.
We here's
listening to classics.
Yes. All right. And then the next song would be John Philip Susan. There'd be cannons going off. And then I would immediately pop up and want another drink. Why don't you want people to sleep on the plane? And don't you want people to sleep on the plane, Elise?
We do want people to sleep on the plane. When they're sleeping, they're not talking.
Right. Thank you. And let me ask you this, though, all in all seriousness. commercial airlines have had these stations and these earphones going on for what, 40 years?
Oh, I don't know about 40, probably more like 20.
20? You think it was 1986 that these things were conceived?
Oh, probably before that. Let's go with 30.
Let's go with 40.
Okay.
I think when they started having pressurized cabins and all that kind of stuff, they started in. Remember the ones that just had, they were just air powered? There's just a tube that you would plug in?
No, I don't remember that.
All right. How come I know more about commercial air travel than you, at least?
When were air cabins first pressurized? I'm curious. Do you know the date?
December 21st, 1961.
Name the airline?
That was Pan Am.
Oh.
Thank you. All right, baby.
Very, very well done.
Yeah, wait till I ask you some questions about Marconi.
Well, you got
see if you can answer those.
You got about 10 people sitting in your studio looking up these dates for you.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Mike Lynch came up the pan. He Googled Pan Am and first pressurized cabin.
I think it was either TWA or Pan Am.
All right. Look, we've established you know nothing. Here's my point. I have, for 40 years... No one has put a channel together on the 14 or 15 stations that's conducive to sleep. You got country and western, you have all the pop stuff and the techno, whatever. Not one that just has straight classical made for sleeping. I designed that channel and I gave it to you.
Terrific. Yeah, it, great idea. We're excited about it. I'm going to let you know how the listenership numbers come in.
Thank you. How do you figure out who's listening?
That's a good question. Can you tell me?
Air Arbitron.
Do you have the answers today?
All right. I know. You think of yourself as feisty. I know there's a sexual tension between us that would transcend all of that, though. Believe you me.
Yeah, I feel it.
Yes. We would make sweet, sweet music together. I'll tell you that right now, at least.
Would I fall asleep?
Well, you better not, because I would do some strange things to you if you did.
Well, you seem to be into making people sleep, so I thought maybe there was something.
All right. Now I've had enough of this. If I want abuse, I'll meet with my producer.
That's right.
Thank you. All right, Elise, so please keep us posted on this. You say it starts in May?
Yep, it'll run in May. I'm going to send you guys the copy of the InFlight magazine, because you'll be in there, too, and it'll list all the songs that people will not hear while they're sleeping.
Thank you. That's right. The beautiful classical music. Again, change. I went out into the world. I saw something that needed change, and I changed it, and I have another crusade to go on, and I'll get you into that after this.
866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Laird Hamilton in his flip-flops, clad in his shorts, outside, waiting to come in.
More handsome than you imagined?
Yes. Yes, if that's possible. The beautiful, big wave-riding Laird Hamilton is going to come in, going to slather a little grease on his buttocks. Verbally, of course.
Sunbaked.
Sunbaked.
Blonde.
That's right.
Beautiful bastard.
All right, so he'll come in. We'll talk to him. First, a little work to do. When I accepted this job, I thought, what can we bring? You know, instead of just doing the morning zoo stuff, instead of getting Big Tad, the big lackey, and making fun of him all morning, what kind of real social change can I enact from my bully pulpit here? And we spoke earlier about creating the station for US Air so people can sleep, and we've heard my jags about turning left on the red turn arrows and ignoring those, which I dutifully do every day. But it struck me when we had our discussion, when we were wrapping up on Friday, we were talking about what we had to do Monday, and one of the things we have to do is a sexual harassment seminar, meeting, watch an instructional videotape, and all that. And everyone just, it's one of these things, and there's more and more of these things in life that you just sort of file under the, well, what are you going to do, death and taxes. You know, it's just one. You're. It's amazing. You know, it's like they say, you throw the frog in a boiling pot of water, it hops out, but you just slowly start raising the temperature, and it just cooks. It just happily cooks away. And this is what we're starting to do in this society. It's that way with taxes. You know, well, it starts off at 15%, then it's 17%, then someone wants to raise it 0.5% to 16.5%. Before you know it, half your paycheck is gone every day, and we don't know a world where that didn't exist. Well, think about what lawyers are doing to this society. Think about when you buy a new car. How many goddamn stickers are on the new car with the airbags going off and the seatbelt things? There's stickers on the windows. It's all the yellow thing with the deployment or whatever. They don't ask you whether you have kids or not. They don't know if you're gay and haven't adopted yet. They don't care. If there is an iron-on yellow sticker, and you could buy a Rolls-Royce. You could buy a Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow for $325,000, and on the beautifully hand-stitched Conley leather sun visor, there would be a yellow sticker that was ironed on that showed a kid getting hit with an airbag. That is the exact same sticker they use on the Ford Taurus, by the way. And if you wanted to get it off, you'd have to go back to England and have one made, because there's no way to get off. Because if you could just peel it off, that'd be a lawsuit, because then the next guy bought your Rolls would put his kid in and not shut off the airbag. My point is we have been taken over by attorneys and childproofing and stickers, and now the whole sexual harassment thing, which didn't seem to exist, at least through the eyes of the attorneys in the workplace 10 years ago, is now all over the place. And if you work for any Fortune 2000 company, you have to go in and do one of these ridiculous seminars. You have to watch a tape. First off, the person that delivers this thing has had a shop vac hooked up to the rectum, and all sexuality has been removed from that person, ironically. It'd be one thing it was a hot chick. Ironically, I'm talking about that. But it's not. It's a horribly unattractive, sexless woman in her 50s or some super nerdy engineer type who's explaining you things you've heard at your last five jobs. And how about that? How about you just get certified? Like you know, when you go scuba diving, you get certified and that's it. You don't have to recertify every time you go into the water. How about the sexual harassment thing I had to go through at the Man Show? How about the one we went through at Kimmel? How about the one we all went through at our last 25 goddamn jobs? We're not certified now? We don't know what goes on? What we should do or shouldn't do in the workplace? Here's my point. Thank you. I said no. I'm not going. I got something to do at 11 o'clock today, and it's not see some old F deliver me a videotape from 30 years ago about what's inappropriate and appropriate in the workplace. We're adults. We have no history of sexual harassment. Why don't we all just stand up? Because I got to tell you, everybody, you guys, we're so worried about the terrorists. They've won already. We've created them. They're attorneys. And they're sucking the life out of everything we do. How much of the workday is spent just going through all the things, all the gates and hurdles that attorneys have set up over the last few years? You realize how many man hours are wasted every year by corporate America, by us having to sit in sensitivity training, by us having to go to sexual harassment seminars? Every single person in this building has to spend an hour and go sit with these idiots. I say I'm not doing it.
But Adam, you'll be fired.
I don't care.
CBS will fire you.
Let them. I believe, by the way, if you don't go to one of these meetings and you have no history of sexual harassment, you cannot be fired. I believe you could sue them for wrongful termination. I, for one, am standing up, and I ask everyone within the sound of my voice to stand up with me, to say enough is enough. I want to wrestle back this country on behalf of the sane people who know the difference between sexual harassment and what's appropriate and inappropriate in the workplace. Stand with me. Stand tall. The next time your company asks you to do this, say no. I'm not going to do it. I have work to do. And then go into the bathroom and masturbate. That's what I do. The women's bathroom, naturally, yes.
Powerful message.
Yes, yes. If you lock the door and put your knees on the toilet and get your feet off the floor, they won't be able to see you.
Well, I don't want to make light, because it will be interesting to see what becomes of this.
Yes.
I think this is going to be a standoff.
I refuse, and may be fired because of it. I absolutely refuse. That's my word. I've gone on the air with it. You can all call me on it. I absolutely refuse to attend one of these sexual harassment meetings. I didn't do it when we were over at Kimmel. I don't believe they'll fire you. That's the whole thing, everybody. Oh, they'll threaten you. They'll tell you it's mandatory, and if you don't go, you're fired. Well, what happens if nobody goes? What happens if everyone just grows a spine and stands up and says, I'm not doing it? Now, there's always one pussy out there who goes, I got three kids. And then he goes, and then someone follows him, and it screws everything up again. Let's see. We have a wrongful termination lawyer.
Let me tell you one thing. Laird Hamilton, the surfer, does not have to go through any sexual harassment training.
No.
No.
He certainly doesn't.
He answers to the sea and the sea alone.
That's his mistress.
Yes.
He F's the ocean.
Maybe this is the path you should take.
It's unclear when they explain their mistress is the sea whether they actually have sex with the ocean. I would assume. I mean, why have a mistress? Fancy. You're not going to get any.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Point is his mistress is the sea. Mine is the office. Doesn't sound as romantic. My mistress, babe, the cubicle. Wow. Point is I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to go to the sexual harassment seminar. I will ask everyone on my staff, ironically, not to go to this sexual harassment seminar. If they fire us, they fire us. So be it. I think we have a wrongful termination lawsuit if they do fire us, considering there's no reason to believe that anyone here would ever commit sexual harassment. And by the way, what is sexual harassment? Anytime somebody reports you with sexual harassment, and here's how it goes. Angie, please jump in here.
Okay.
Producer Angie filling in for Rachel this morning, shooting a pilot. When there's a creepy guy, there's always the world's, there's a creepy guy at work.
Yeah, there's a couple here.
That's Brusca, right. There's always a creepy guy at work. Oh, yeah, it's a couple of these engineers.
Angie, am I creepy?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. There's the creepy guy at work, and then there's the cool guy at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, when you walk past the creepy guy, and the creepy guy says, hey, it looks like someone's been working out, you go,
brr. Yeah, disgusting.
It's just like, oh, my God. He just pictured me naked. Now, the creepy guy can say, hey, what'd you do? Get a new skirt? Or did you work out? Or someone's lost a couple of pounds? Or looks like somebody had a good weekend? Mm-hmm. And you just go like, ugh! And you could actually think about reporting that guy. You could go right to the boss, ironically here, who is the creepy guy. Jack Silver. But if Jack Silver wasn't the creepy guy, or maybe you just report Jack Silver to Jack Silver for freaking you out when you walk past his office. Point is you could go report that guy. Where's the cool guy? Cool guy can say whatever he wants.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows the cool guy at the office. This is the guy, could be gay, could be spoken for, could be single. He's just the cool guy. You know his vibe. He's laid back. He's the kind of guy you'd like to hang out with on the weekend. Now, that guy says, whew, looks like someone got pounded like a veal cutlet Saturday night. And you're like, oh, Kirk, shut up.
Sure, you blush a little bit. You take it as a compliment.
Or you go, you wish, and you pull your top up or something. You wish you could grab these. The difference between how women treat the cool guy and the creepy guy is there's a chasm bigger than the Grand Canyon. And by the way, it's a horrible message to send to the creepy guy because he sees you out of the corner of his eye flirting with cool guy every once in a while.
Maybe this could be added as an addendum to the video, to the sexual harassment video. Is this the train of thought?
Yes, because cool guy has a leash that will go around the globe, whereas creepy guy has a leash as long as your pinky. He can't make a comment on your physicality. He can barely ask you if you got your hair cut without you getting weirded out and wanting to file a complaint to, again, Jack Silver, creepy guy.
Right.
So here's my point. My point is there are no rules anyway. It's pointless to sit down and ask people who work together, especially in an environment where they're going to be together for 10 hours out of the day, not to have any conversations that would include the outside world, not to discuss other things like relationships and things like that. It's a case by case thing. There's no videotape that's going to explain to us how to act. And by the way, haven't we all seen 20 of these things by now? Does anyone remember anything? Does anyone act any differently? Has anyone seen one of these sexual harassment videotapes or reviewed the material and said, oh, okay, well, there you go. Well, that's something. Or do you just laugh and make jokes because you're an intelligent, right-thinking human being? I say we stand up, we don't go. I'm not going today. I'm out of here at my usual 10:05. You guys do what you want. I will not be there. And if they want to fire me, bring it on. I am absolutely not going. I didn't go to any when I used to work at Kimmel. It was always a big corporate thing. I wouldn't go. Just sat in the office. And if you guys want to be lemmings, if you want to go through your life like that, just as sheep being herded by attorneys, because that's all we are now. We're all just sheep. And we got to ask the guy in the three-piece suit, hey, Mr. Attorney, where do you want us to go today? We'd like you to go sit in this room for an hour and talk to this eunuch about nothing. Oh, okay. Anything else, Your Highness? Yeah, read this thing, and here's a lighter that doesn't work. You have to hold out one thing and pull this and do that. because everything has been childproofed. That's right. It's one big... The lawyers have taken over, but everyone wants to worry about the terrorists. Let me tell you something about the terrorists. They don't make an impact in your life daily. The lawyers do. And we're all blind. We're being slowly poisoned. Stand up with me. Stand. Grow a spine. I'm not going. Watch this. Angie?
Yes.
That's right. You look hot.
Thank you.
Your boobs look perky.
Thank you.
Look the nuzzle between them.
All right.
Yeah. See? What do you think of that, Mr. Attorney? Because I'm not creepy guy. I can say what I want. All right.
You, sir, are America.
Thank you. We will, I'll talk to an attorney about this later on. We'll try to find out, because I think it would be a wrongful termination suit if you're fired because of this. And I'm going to try to empower all of you not to go to any of these things. And just tell them, here's the thing, just tell them it's a religious thing. For me, I'm an atheist, but my religion is common sense. And that's going to prevent me from going to this thing. All right. How say you? Let's do a little news and sports now. Actually, Angie Fitzsimmons is sitting in for Rachel Perry, and she's going to do her news.
Good news today. Today is officially the first day of spring. Bad news, violence continues in Iraq.
What?
Yep. Believe
There's
it or
trouble?
Not. Yes, there is.
In the Middle East.
It's true.
Of all places. Wow.
Yesterday was the third anniversary of the U.S.-led war, and President Bush talked about how Iraqi citizens deserve democracy.
Iraqi people voted for democracy last December. 75% of the eligible citizens went to the polls to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And a Category 5 tropical cyclone hit Australia yesterday. What's the difference between a cyclone and a hurricane? Same thing, right?
Yeah, well, yes. I think a cyclone is spinning.
No, they're the same thing.
They're the same thing.
They're the same. They just call them differently in another part of the world.
Yeah. That's right. If you're on this side of the equator or that side of the equator, I think you could call it something different.
By the way, unlike the USA's response, you know, the most powerful and richest country on the globe in the history of the world, the Australian people, you know, the outback, you know, free spirits, they handled it just fine. This miserable hurricane or cyclone, as they call it.
Cyclone Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Minimal loss of lives, major property damage, but the people were evacuated without any trouble.
Yeah, the damage was extensive, but only minor injuries were reported.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Once a day, and by the way, can I say, it must be miserable to lose your home to a cyclone or hurricane, but what about the additional loss of dignity when your home is destroyed by a cyclone named Larry?
Yeah, that's
the zaniest. That's the zaniest cyclone ever.
And by the way, everyone thinks you're speaking in metaphors when the lady says, "What happened to your house? Cyclone Larry blew through here. Oh, your ex-old man? No, it was actual." Just sounds like some guy you had a bad relationship with a few years ago.
Yeah, why don't they go ahead and name it Mo or Curly?
Yes.
All right.
And you know what one of their biggest problems is? It's Crocs and snakes that are loose.
Yeah. So I like that.
That is fun.
Did you hear about
make
this,
a movie of that.
This yeah. smoking ban that's going on in Calabasas. It's a suburb right outside of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
It makes smoking off limits in public places where someone else may be exposed to secondhand smoke.
Yes.
That means indoor businesses, outdoor businesses, parks, outdoor cafes, and even some common areas in apartment buildings.
That's right.
And they're going to have designated areas at malls and at businesses, but if a non-smoker tells a smoker to put the cigarette out, they have to do it, or they can be fined hundreds of dollars.
Remember, we were just talking about pussy attorneys enabling all the loudmouth victims of the world. This is it. This is just more of it. This is more pussies giving victims a voice.
And they could even file a lawsuit against them if they don't put them
perfect
out.
Perfect. Lawsuit. That's good. Yeah. Because this society was so bad when people smoked. Think about how it's going. Guys used to smoke during the newscasts. Surgeons would smoke. Pilots would smoke. Game shows. Everyone would just be smoking. It was a better world back then. Think about that. All right.
And last week in Chicago, police got a call from about a man. He was going around a neighborhood, and he was smashing car windows. So they went to arrest him, but he decided to fight him off. And his technique was pretty unique. He sliced off his penis and threw it at them.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. I've always said that.
After he threw that, he threw some knives, none which stuck, and the police had to taser him and arrest him.
That's the whole thing. I finish with the penis. I go with the knife, and then I get to throwing the penis. It's like in a good movie where the guy fires the gun, realizes he's out of bullets by doing it way too many times. Click, 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 click. First click, I'd realize I'm go ahead, I'm out. It's a six shooter. Click. And then I throw the gun at the monster that's coming at me.
Right.
This guy did the equivalent with his penis, except for he did it before he threw the knives.
Well, this is an ugly variation on cutting your nose to spite your face.
Yes. Although I guess you have to keep one knife to cut your penis off. Unless you pre-cut your penis off, throw the knives, and then throw the penis.
Yeah.
Nobody was hit by his
penis.
Not
sure what kind of damage my penis could have done. Possibly gotten under the skin and caused an infection. But I don't think it would be any immediate benefit to me throwing my penis. You know, like when you get a splinter or a shard in you. You know, something like that.
But the police were nice enough to scoop it up, put it on ice, and they reattached it at the hospital. And
how'd you lose your eye?
Someone
flung a wang at me.
Yeah, it's tough.
And it still works, just in case you're wondering.
We're going to talk sexual harassment. I hope that's in the video. No lopping off your own dork and tossing it at a coworker.
I wouldn't throw it. I would sling it like a spear.
Yeah.
Just stick somebody. I hope I had deadly accuracy.
I would use one of those potato cannons. Really make sure it did some damage.
In the story, they said it only went 10 feet. So,
wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, my personal best is 11.9. Thank you.
And on The Sopranos last night, if you didn't see it, don't listen. We found out, well, from what we found out was Tony didn't die. He's in a coma. Mm-hmm. And here the doctors tell Carmela the extent of Tony's injuries.
The bullet didn't just tear up the pancreas, but it impacted the gallbladder. Sepsis is the big problem, an infection in the blood. I've got him sedated and restrained so he can't pull his breathing tubes out.
Okay. Then what?
As we discussed before, we're probably not looking at a very good outcome here.
Wow. Medically induced coma, I think they put him in at some point. And then, yeah, then they were talking about if he does come back, he may be diminished capacity.
Well, he's got to be dead. Because, yeah, as you said earlier, Ace, that, you know, a serious-minded show like this, if they now have a, now makes a miraculous recovery, it would be bogus. It cheapens the series. He must be dead now.
Well, we'll find out.
Or at least he must be, yeah, like a, you know, a half-wit.
Quiet before I throw my wang at you.
And did you hear Carmela talking to him in the coma, talking about how hot she got
over
him? Creepy, right?
Yes!
Here it is.
You know that's always gotten to me. When you used to pick me up and throw me over your shoulder. Oh, my God, Tony. You used to get me so hot down there.
It was
very,
weird.
Very creepy.
I was really, it pulled me right out of the moment. I was just watching it with my wife and my dog, and she was talking, you know, you're supposed to talk to people that are in comas. Although maybe this is just something that's perpetuated by the movies because it never seems to work. They're just flatline and die in the next episode. And as I said, if I ever had that job of talking to my dad or talking to anybody who was in a coma, I'd just come in the room and be like, what's up, Pops? I said, what's up? Okay, listen, if that's... All right, listen, screw you.
I don't need the high hand from you.
All of a sudden, oh, we're back in the fifth grade again, and you're pulling the high hand? I'm out of here. Hey, let me unplug this apparatus. Screw off, old man. Here, sign this with your mouth. Thank you. I'm out. If that's the way you want to play it. Yeah, I would immediately... I'd talk for about 10 seconds and then get PO'd that they weren't answering back. What? Hey, that was funny. You're not laughing? That was a good one. Ah, screw you. Yeah, you're supposed to talk to him. She started talking to him. Then she started getting weird and sexual, and then it became uncomfortable for me. That's right.
I'm Angie Fitzsimmons, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I spent the weekend shut inside watching the NCAA tournament, only to have my heart broken. They're down to the Sweet 16, and you may as well just throw... Everybody in America can throw their brackets in the garbage, because I defy anybody on the face of the earth who has this as their Sweet 16, with George Mason and Bradley and all these garbage teams. Who cares now that my two teams, Pitt and Indiana, are out of it? I guess the fans of UCLA and Gonzaga probably are still excited.
Yeah, so I don't know. I talked to some UCLA fans. They said they're pretty upset about Pitt being out.
Well, listen. Yeah. They pulled out their game, UCLA, Saturday night against Alabama. Gonzaga edged out the aforementioned Hoosiers. They'll play on Thursday night. The thing that really distracted me, for anybody, as I'm sure millions of American males did this weekend, stayed in and watched the hoops, the commercials really suck. Mm-hmm. And they show the same three over and over again. I thought you couldn't do any worse than those Like a Rock ads. Mm-hmm. You know, Like a Rock. And they played those over with
sure. the Chevy like truck.
Right. Now they have a new low, which is they show this Army ad trying to convince young, weak-minded people to join the Army to ship off to Iraq. Take a little tip from your pal Dave here. Don't do it. You're going to get shipped off overseas to the Middle East for a year and a half of your life.
Yeah, but what do we want those people? Hanging out here and clogging up our junior colleges?
Listen, poop on that idea. That's what I say. And the other one is this Applebee's ad.
Maybe
the
they should do. Maybe they should do Like Iraq. Like Iraq. And they combine the two. Yes. Bob Seger.
NBA last night, Kobe outscored LeBron over in Cleveland, but the Lakers lost by a point. Sacramento lost, so the Lakers and Kings are now tied for the last spot in the Western Conference. The Hornets hovering, waiting in the wings, waiting to sting if either lets down. And the big news, of course, in sports today is I have my fantasy baseball draft coming up this afternoon at 3 in the p.m. It's exhilarating. I can't wait. I did a lot of preparation on that one. I wasn't watching hoops. I was online feverishly. By the way, there's no shortage of websites you can go to get tips on how to draft fantasy baseball players.
Why don't you go into one of those medically induced comas like Tony Soprano? It'd be a better life for you.
You're too cool for school. It's a lot of
fairy tale baseball.
Go, please. That's what I say.
Please.
All right. And, there's a lot to get to, but let me just quickly say, did you see that the Axis of Evil down in Dallas grew by one member? NFL's biggest jerk, joined the already unholy alliance of the creepy Jerry Jones and the Zoftic Bill Parcells. Here's a little bit from the press conference of the great T.O.
I know there were some learned experiences, some life learned experiences that I experienced last year, both personally and professionally. And, I'm going to put those things behind me and, those.
How about this? How about you don't put them behind you? How about you use them? I had some life experiences and I'm going to use those as I go forward. Nope, I'm going to put those behind me and return to being the creep that you know and love.
I like when they weave you into their a-hole scenario, too. They go, sure, I've made some mistakes, but who hasn't? Well, never been that big an a-hole. T.O. or Barry Bonds? Who do you drive? Who do you ride cross country on a tandem bike with?
I'd like to throw my wang at both of them. I wish I had two wangs to throw.
Well, you could always involve the nutsack.
Dave Damashek's number one sport.
He regrets that he only has one wang to throw. Write that down. So poetic. All right. The beautiful, speaking of throwing wangs, the beautiful Laird Hamilton, big wave rider. Got much to talk to him about after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-8888.
Yes, it is 866-901-ADAM. Laird Hamilton, the manliest of all men in studio. Big wave rider, Laird Hamilton. Laird is a lot like you, Damashek, except for him, it's big waves, and for you, it's Connect Four. He doesn't compete in competitions.
Right.
You understand? His competition is the big wave.
Right.
He does battle with himself, and like I said, you do that with Connect Four. You don't play competitively.
I don't play competitive four. I just do it for the love of the game. Right.
Right.
Right. Exhibition Four. Same as he goes out and surfs the waves.
That's right. That's right. Because I've followed Laird. I've seen all the movies. Now coming up, by the way, all aboard the Crazy Train, who you can... when is this out, by the way?
It's already out in surf shops and core stores along the coast.
This is more documentary style?
Yeah, documentary.
Doing the big waves.
Documenting the last two seasons and just kind of a little bit of chaos that we're kind of dealing with the big insurgent of wannabe big wave riders.
Ooh.
And people that maybe want to get a commercial or something like that.
Well, are the biggest waves on the North Shore of Hawaii?
The biggest waves are on the North Shore of the Hawaiian Islands, and mm-hmm. each island has a different wave. I mean, people could could argue the point. I mean, there's giant waves in the tip of South Africa. There's huge waves in Northern California. It's just Hawaii and the position. I don't know if it's a, you know, if it's an accident that surfing was created in Hawaii where some of the biggest waves come to. We're just sitting in the middle of the Pacific. The water's warm and we have the biggest storms in the world just right out in front of our door.
Are there differences in waves? And I never rode any big waves, but as a old body surfer, there was a difference between Zuma and Malibu. Zuma was scary and Malibu was kind of cool. And even though each wave was 6 foot, the Zuma one would kick the crap out of you and the Malibu one wasn't so tough.
Yeah.
So would you, if you're riding a 30 foot wave, would you rather it be in Hawaii or Northern California, or does it make a difference if you're going to wipe out?
It makes a huge difference. I mean, there's, you know, waves are, I always say waves are like dogs. You got pit bulls and great Danes and, you know,
yeah.
And I mean, so
I like
the variety,
to find a Shih Tzu and ride that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean literally ride a Shih Tzu, literally, or possibly throw my penis at it. Yeah, you want to.
Yeah, but there's all different kinds of waves. The bottom topography, you got, you know, Tahiti has like live coral reef. You fall in a live coral reef and, yes, you know, you look like you've been hit by a cheese grater. You have sand bottom. So there are definitely, prefer, you know, nicer 30 foot waves than others. But at a certain point, when it's big, it's big. And even a nice big wave is still going to hammer you.
Well, the thing about a big wave, too, is it's one thing to be on the beach and see a film of it, and it's another thing to be out there. If you've gone out in the ocean and just been around a 6 or 7 foot wave, it is frightening. It's sort of the equivalent, you know, it's like when you go swimming and a 4 foot fish swims next to you, a small shark or something. It seems huge. It scares the crap out of you. You want to get out of the water. It's the same with the wave. 5 or 6 foot wave is massive when you're in the water. It's just your head poking out of the water. I could only imagine what a 30, 40 foot wave look like. I mean, that's got to be unbelievable.
Well, I think you have to work up to it psychologically. I think if you're not used to that and you saw that, you might die of fright. I would
plots in my summer suit.
What would happen to me if I have never, I've never surfed, obviously.
He's a Jew. He's not allowed to go in the ocean.
Right. Yes.
We have those out there, though.
You have Jews in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get them
everywhere.
I got a guy I can get rid of them. It's going to take a couple of weeks.
First of all, Laird, may I say, the other end of the
definitely not a Jew, by the way.
I love to see that Laird shows up in here with his sun-bleached blonde hair and his bronze flesh and the OP corduroy shorts and the flip-flops. He lives it. I like it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Lifestyle.
What happens to me if I go out and I try to catch a 30-foot wave? What becomes of me? If I, let's say I can get up on the board.
Well, if you have the fortune of actually making it, then you think you really know how to do it, and you'll probably get yourself in a really bad situation the next time. But if you don't and you get hammered, you drowned. If you don't have flotation on, you drowned. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, why do you have to have the thing attached to you, though? That's always what seems
board,
to me like
the leash.
Yeah, the leash. Yeah, why do you have to have that?
Well, I mean, that's actually, it started around riding waves that have like rock jetties in front of them where you lose your board and it gets destroyed. So that was the initial conception of a leash, was to allow you to surf places where you wouldn't lose your equipment.
But do you guys use a leash?
No,
you don't use a leash on the big waves.
We don't. Because it's a liability. And we think that, you know, a few people that have died in big surf, we think was because of the leash.
That's what I always think. It must clonk you on the head and stuff.
Well, yeah, or just get wrapped around the bottom or drag you underwater and you can't swim. Swim to the top.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like I said, if you've been pummeled by a 5 or 6 foot wave, you could only imagine what it'd be like being pummeled by a wave 5, 6 times that size. Unimaginable. But now, what's the biggest wave you've personally ever surfed?
I mean, you know, I always hate that. That's always a scary question because you hate to go, you know, I didn't have a tape measure and how do you really judge it? But we were riding waves of over 80 foot faces when we have the chance.
Really?
So, sweet.
We call that 40 feet. Mm-hmm. That's like an old Hawaiian thing where you always call it half of. And I don't know if it was to scare the guys from California, because you'd go, hey, it's 10 feet today, and they'd come there and meet it. Well, it's 10 feet. It's 20 foot faces. You know?
Right. So the back of the wave is 10 foot. The face is double that. Yeah. I don't know how you measure a wave, but I do know how I measure my penis.
Yeah.
Yes.
In increments of fear?
Dave knows this. Now, it's precise, but it's from the center of the anus. The center of the anus? The center to just beyond the tip. That's how I do. That's how I was always taught that way. I don't know what... I
guess is that the only way you can get an inch out of it?
Oh, please, Laird. I will give you all of that inch. If you don't
Laird,
down.
You should know. You should know. I don't know if you... Adam, and this is not. This isn't a recent thing, is very much in love with you and has been for some time.
Yeah, but what is love?
Since you know he saw I mean? You in Riding Giants, and we all watched it, we all enjoyed it immensely, but Adam in particular really fell hard for you.
Well, he loves the ocean, so I, you know.
Well, it's
I'll
my mistress.
That. I'll take that.
The cubicle and the ocean are my two mistresses. I said this is amazing that what this guy does. You know, I believe there's certain sports that are maybe a little too much is made of, and then there are other sports that they don't seem to make enough of. And to me, maybe a little too much golf talk and not enough giant wave riding talk. Mm-hmm. Because just on the scale of things you could do versus what you absolutely could not do, the wave riding thing would be right at the top. I mean, it's just impossible. You could sooner pole vault 19 feet than ride one of these, you know, waves that was 80 feet or even 20 feet on the face. And other sports, if you F up, you don't die. You fall onto a pad or you pull a hamstring or you get another try. This, if you screw up, I mean, you may just wash up on the beach, right?
Well, that brings up a point. I thought that if, you know, if we had some sort of shocking instrument in golf, every time you hit a bad shot, you get like huge shock.
Right.
You get good really fast. That's
right.
What happens. You excel. Your learning curve would
increase. Putter cattle prod would help your focus just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably limit myself to a 12-pack on the links if I actually had that. All right. Laird is going to hang with us. Yes, Laird?
I am.
All Aboard the Crazy Train is the name of the DVD and tape, which is out at surf shops as we speak. We'll talk more with Laird. I think Laird will play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with us. It'd be an honor. And no, I will play with him. I will kiss Laird's ass. He'll not have to kiss mine. We'll turn the cheeks.
Scary thought.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
866-901 Adam, Laird Hamilton in studio. All Aboard the Crazy Train. It's a DVD that takes a look at the estate of big wave riding. And Laird is basically, well, the number one name recognizable with synonymous with the big wave riding, which is really, I watch all the movies. You just sit down, crack a beer, possibly a bong, and watch these guys riding these waves that have 75-foot faces on them, and it is unbelievable.
Nothing more enjoyable. I love riding waves and everything, but nothing better than coming across Endless Summer on the TV. True, Laird? Is that your favorite?
Yeah, my granddad liked that one a lot.
Wow.
Laird, we were off to a nice start.
Yeah.
Now. Why? That's cool.
Married to the beautiful Gabby Reese, who I think I've seen in person a couple times and has got to be 6'2". How tall is your wife?
6'3".
6'3". Fantastic. I didn't want to make her taller than you, but she is spectacular. What?
Well, she technically isn't. It's just I've been smashed over the years.
Yeah, you get hit in the head with waves. By the way, she's reaching for the top of the net. She's stretching herself out. What a life you two have. And how, and as far as the money coming in, you have endorsements, you sell videos and things like that. But what is a day like for Laird Hamilton besides 2 hours of flexing in the mirror every morning? Then what? What after that?
Just training, kind of training, physically training, mountain bike. I got mountain bikes with 50 pounds of lead that we strap onto them. I drag logs in the sand, and we paddle for hours, do weight training. I got a couple of guys that I weight train with. I train with guys like Chris Chelios and McEnroe and a bunch of other.
Oh, really?
A bunch
celebrity
of
weight training.
Summertime. Yeah, but hard. Yeah, but these guys are hardcore. They're like, talk about competitive. These guys are competitive.
Well, they're trying to impress you. I had a bike when I was a kid that had 50 pounds of. It was just a Huffy. That's right. Big sled dragging that thing around. So sad. Anyway, point is you're out training, out dragging logs on the beach, and you're training like Rocky trained when he fought Drago in the USSR. Whereas Drago was doing all the high tech stuff, running on the treadmills with the steroids and all the computer stuff. Rocky was out in the barn lifting logs and
carrying
lifting carts and carrying refrigerators. That's you on the beach dragging the log.
Yeah. I just like that. I like that outdoor stuff. I'll do indoor stuff, indoor training. I just got I got my knee fixed, so I did a bunch of rehab in the gym, but I prefer outside.
And you're just going down the Malibu beach dragging that log.
Yeah.
And the people think you're retarded?
No, they know I am.
Oh, they're like, why is that guy dragging a log?
They're not wondering.
They know that log's
what's
on
scary
him?
Is when they walk by, and then about 2 hours later, they walk by, and I'm still dragging it, and I can see the lady telling her husband, he's still dragging that log.
Laird
I'm farming wheat down there on the sand.
Laird has agreed to play a little reverse ass kiss rodeo with us. In the past, you've heard people kiss my ass, and we've even done the celebrity version of it. But now it is time, because of my great love, affection, and attraction for Laird
this
Hamilton.
Is some statement you're making
for me
about
to kiss
Laird,
his ass.
Right,
I've not done this yet.
No,
my oral hymen has not been broken yet. Playing
that's
ass
how
kiss
much
rodeo.
You adore Laird.
Yeah, but I'm going to make that kind
of
sacrifice.
I might never be the same. I may never live through this after.
It's all right.
Everything else is going to be a letdown, right?
Well, tell you what. Later on tonight, me, you, and Gabby will crack a wine cooler and we'll hash it all out in front
later,
of the fireplace.
After the show, Adam will drag your log around.
That's right. All right, shall we play?
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
I love G-strings, you know?
Nothing better than a thong back or a G-string on a woman.
How embarrassing have you seen when it's all, like, cheesy and stuff?
Yeah,
they're terrible.
I'll tell you.
They need a permit for those.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I don't like them either, getting all the hairs
Ferraris,
and whatnot.
Ferraris are awesome.
Whoa. Ferrari is a beautiful Italian sports car. Man like yourself
they
would
suck,
look fine.
Though. They suck. You ever drive to the mechanics?
I'll tell you what. These IDs and their temperamental cars. Fact. Give me American muscle.
I just love the 405 at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
The 405, hitting the herb. Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing says surf.
Six lanes of just like...
Oh, the 405, yeah.
People.
Yeah. Nothing worse. Bumper to bumper. But a guy like yourself, I imagine with your good looks, you'd just poke your head out of the sunroof and it would part like the Red Sea, the traffic, and let you zoom home to your beautiful wife, Gabby.
Sure. Yeah, that and that big semi-truck. Hawaii is probably one of the most beautiful places in the world.
It is. I say we get all the people off it, we put a fence around it, and you just look at it. We just bring in school kids to tour it. It is that beautiful. And nothing more beautiful than Hawaii, except for possibly the people.
Yeah, and the giant high-rises and all the unhappy tourists with their little...
Been completely commercialized.
Drinks.
Totally. It's really, they've turned it into Disneyland. It used to be a utopia. Thank you.
Nicely done. I'll say this. You could have involved Laird a little bit more.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
The only thing more beautiful than Hawaii is Laird Hamilton,
right.
Not people.
Yeah,
Laird
you're
Hamilton.
Right. Yeah, I got to say, in my defense, I wove him in a few times on the 405 commute and things like that, but I could have woven him in just a little bit more. You're right.
Nice.
And it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Yes.
And Laird is right.
Laird, how did you feel?
Just underappreciated.
Wow.
Not satisfied.
He's used to more. All right. Thank you for playing along, Laird, by the way. Come back anytime.
Hey, you know, I got to hold on to the few good fans I have out there.
Laird Hamilton, all aboard the crazy train, takes a look at the state of the big wave surfing in today's society. Out on DVD. Get it surf shops or online. Laird, God love you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Give my love to Gabby, by the way.
I'm not all of it, but I'll say you said hi.
There's not a lot.
It's not a lot. All right. We'll take a break, and then I'm going to finish. We have an attorney coming in here because I think we can beat this whole sexual harassment thing. We'll figure that out after this.
Aloha.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And then ask Jesus to forgive you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Elliot Hahn is in the studio. Nice to meet you, Elliot.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Hey, Breska. I should have had that discussion with him about the microphone. Go ahead. Say that again, Elliot.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. Elliot is not a DJ. He is an attorney. You'd be surprised. He works in and specializes in wrongful termination lawsuits. We got him on the show because we have a sexual harassment seminar to attend today at 11, which I will not attend. And I made the announcement a few years ago. I'm done with these FACACTA things. I don't think they can fire you. If they do, I think there's a wrongful termination act that we can we can sue them with. But I don't know. Elliot, you tell me. What are the ramifications legally of me not attending the sexual harassment seminar that this stupid company has?
Well, first, I heard your comments about 715 about lawyers, and I'm very sympathetic to them, but I think it's more with the state and with the bureaucracy that you should be angry with and not with lawyers.
Well, the lawyers spearhead the whole thing, and then the state bureaucracy picks up on it, but a few horrible lawsuits, and then the state picks up, right?
But the fact of the matter is, under state law today, if you're a manager or supervisor of employees, and you have discretion as to whether or not someone can be fired, the state mandates that if the company you work for, company like this has more than 50 employees worldwide, not mm-hmm. just in California, mm-hmm. you have to go to a sexual harassment seminar at least once a year.
Oh, we've pussified the entire state. Can you believe this?
You know, we call that the Lawyers Free Employment Act.
Well, yeah, now here's my point. I'm not going. I will not go. Because, first off, I have no history of sexual harassment. How about that? I mean, and why not just... How about we just have a seminar for everything? Because there's industrial espionage we could do here at work. We could do anything. We could blow up the building. We could rip stuff off. I mean, why not a seminar for everything as long as we're doing the sexual harassment?
But let's say that other people take the same point of view as you and they don't go also.
Right.
For example, let's say that you send an email to Angie with right. a joke that you think is very, very funny.
Right.
She's offended by that.
Yes.
She complains to the state of California. The state has no sense of humor when it comes to these matters. Even though you have no history of sexual harassment,
right.
both you and the company could be liable.
What if I'd attended the meeting? What difference would that make?
Well,
nothing.
The purpose is really not for your benefit. It's for the company's benefit.
Well, even the company is still going to get sued. I mean, we could go to the meeting at 11 o'clock, and then we could walk out of the room, and I could drop my pants, and Angie could still sue me and the company, and it wouldn't make a difference whether I just attended the seminar or not.
But one of the defenses the company would raise in a lawsuit if she sued the company later on is that the company did try to educate you. It doesn't eliminate liability, but it does mitigate liability.
Oh, it's Orwellian. Companies trying to educate you. And by the way, trying to educate people that are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s about what's appropriate and inappropriate at the workplace is ridiculous. We got hold of the tape that we were supposed to have to watch. And all I'm saying is, everybody, is let's just claim this country back on behalf of sane people. Can't we? Can't we just do that? Oh, and here's another good question for you. Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Let's hear the tape.
Hi, Al. Haven't seen you since before the NAB convention.
I'm doing okay. I actually gave you a call from the hotel last night, but they said you were on vacation. Why don't you come here? Let me get a good look at you.
Hey, what are you doing?
What's the matter? You don't want to sit on Santa's lap?
You're being rude. Did you see that? Al Freely just basically grabbed Jessica and pulled her into his lap. Whoa, he's just disgusting.
Yeah. So these are the things us adults are supposed to watch and learn from. It's really amazing. It's just more time wasted at the workplace. But what about this? What if I said that I had a religion? Let's just say I was one of these Quakers or an Amish or born again or something. And I said, these things offend me and they offend my faith. I cannot, in my religion, I can't watch these kind of instructional videotapes that depict men and women in sexual situations. Do you think I could get away with that?
Well, let's try that as a test case. I'll represent you once I see your retainer, and I think you'll do very well on
that. Oh, really?
Ground. Yes.
I would like to, as an atheist, just make my own religion. You know, they say being an atheist is having no religion. I say it's the religion of sane people. How about that? How about all you nut job Jehovah's and born agains and you Hasidic Jews and you folks bowing to Allah every 10 seconds? You guys are nuts. It turns out if you're an atheist, you're just sane. And I would like to make a mark on behalf of the sane atheists of the world that say, look, we understand as right-thinking adults what the difference between sexual harassment is and playful conversation. We don't have to go look at a, you know, hour worth of tutorial video to figure out what's right and what's wrong. So I'm not going to go, and you're saying if I don't go, the beef isn't with the company. The beef is with the state of California?
I think it's actually more with the legal system as a whole because, you know, you're obviously taking a funny example. But I think what the state would do is try to balance. For example, let's say that you did do that and you harassed someone at the same time.
Right.
The state would try to balance your rights as a person under your religion as against the rights of the other person. The problem is the state and the courts are focusing more and more on the recipient. Mm-hmm. For example, let's take Angie again.
Yes.
You might have a case with her where you send her funny emails every day.
And right.
These are very sexually explicit.
Right.
But she thinks they're very, very funny. Then one day, lo and behold, you go one inch further.
Right.
And she complains of sexual harassment. The problem is the courts are probably going to rule in her favor, even in a history in that kind of case. So the educational process is such to educate you. Basically, unfortunately, today in California, the workplace has become a very sterile environment.
Is it the
and in
most...
fact, if I could take this one
yes.
step further, a lot of companies even prohibit dating, for example, and say to people, it's grounds for termination if you date another person.
I don't want to date either. Quickie in the bathroom is not out of question, but dating, I think that's weird. And what about the sensitivity training as far as ethnic jokes and things like that? What about that? And how come we don't have to have one of those meetings?
Well, you know, frankly, if I were your employer, I'd probably mandate you do that also.
Right. And everything is just all we do now is try to check a box so when we get sued, we can say, well, what do you mean? I talked to the guy. I showed the guy a video on being sensitive to ethnicities. And I showed him a video on being sensitive at the workplace for sexual harassment. That's all the employee is trying to do, right?
You know, actually, there's a very important case now before the California Supreme Court. There was a woman who was a writer on The Friends Show. And her argument is that when they discuss plots and when they discuss the show in general, they made sexually explicit remarks to her that she found offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the response of the show is that that's what Friends was based on, sexual innuendo,
right.
sexual remarks, etc., and therefore she should have assumed the risk when she knew it. That case is looked at by a lot of people as to what will happen thereafter.
But, of course, there's no chance that the Friends people be held accountable for this. Adam Carolla is employed to crack wise. Therefore, anything he says to anybody on the staff can be written off to that.
Well,
true?
that's the argument of the show in this case. But the argument of the individual was that she didn't realize the degree and the constant day-to-day exposure, et cetera.
Let's just put a bullet in these people's heads and move on with our life. Please, can you guys understand that we've all been hijacked? That between the workman's comp payments and all the insurance stuff and all the legal stuff, we've just been hijacked. We just have. You don't even realize. You climb in your car, there's a buzzer going off, there's 1,000 buzzers, there's 1,000 warning stickers on everything. You ever do this one? You have a little too much to drink, you wake up in the middle of the night, you got the cotton mouth, you head into the bathroom, you're gonna pop a few aspirin or a Tylenol, you don't want to turn the light on and shock yourself, so you grab things, and then you wrestle with the childproof cap for 20 minutes, even though you have no kids. Everything's childproofed, everything has to do with instructional video, everyone's got a sign everything in triplicate. When are we going to wrestle this country back from the attorneys? I ask you, Elliot.
You have my vote, Adam.
Join me and Laird out on the surf. Take your shirt off and let's do a bong load and surf. How about it? Jack Silver, by the way, is on the line, the program director here. Jack?
Well, Adam, I expect to see you and your staff in the conference room at 11 o'clock this morning to watch the video.
The only staff you're going to see is my staff poking through the keyhole.
Don't you sexually harass Jack Silver.
Yes.
No.
Now, listen, Jack, I made the announcement many years ago when I wasn't attending these things over at the Kimmel production, which was I'm taking a step for the sane. I'm not going to this thing. And I would urge everyone within the sound of my voice not to attend. To be respectful and just say no. I'm saying...
Yes. Well, look, it could be argued that you, Adam Carolla, because you are the greatest of all time, maybe you don't need this training.
Thank you.
Your support staff and, you know, the minions that surround you every day, I think they could really benefit from
them. No, of course. Nobody benefits from them. And by the way, how about this one? What about the 20 that we've attended in our adult lives now, from job to job and workplace to workplace? How about being certified? We talked about it earlier. If you're going, you get certified to fly an airplane or to go scuba diving. You don't get recertified every single time you go into the water or go into the air. How about that? How about I bring you a note from Kimmel saying I went through the same crappy ritual 8 months ago? And Dave Damashek, who's worked for Kimmel over there for 3 years, and then before that, the Man Show, ironically, has been through this 10 times. How about he brings you his card that's stamped and shows you that he's been through the seminar?
You bring me a harassment certificate, we'll talk. But most of those people around you, and again, whether it's the interns, whether it's your lovely assistant, Lindsay.
Yes.
Angie licked me. Angie got drunk and licked me in Vegas. I think she needs the training. She definitely needs
it. Honest to God. And by the way, it's not only the harassment training, but we're going to throw some FCC training right on top of it.
No.
That's two different things.
That's different. All right, Jack. Creeping me out. I just say, how about everyone within the... Here's what we could do, and here's what we need to do. And Elliot Hahn, attorney, you tell me if you think this would work. I say we clog the system. I say everybody who's at work who has to attend one of these things just says, I won't, and I'll not do it. And if everybody did that, there's nothing they could do about it. Do you think there's anything they could do about it if everyone just insisted they're not going?
I think you're talking about another Lawyers Free Employment Act right there.
They're talking, they would threaten to fire you, but what are they going to do? Fire everybody, all their employees, everybody on the floor? They can't do it.
They're going to outsource the morning show to India.
That's
going to be replaced.
Lord, what is the cowbell? What is that is big.
What is the deal with the left turn arrow?
It's this big Tad's morning show. Big Tad is over there. We've sent Big Tad down to the Arby's in San Bernardino. He's going to be giving out. It's 2 for Tuesday. Real smack dab in the middle of September. It's two. He's, Big Tad is out at the Arby's in Covinish with the party patrol. He's be out there with the custom van. All right. Yes, they would outsource it to India. Here's my point. If we all take a stand, we can fight the man and we can win. Somebody, Steve's on the line. Steve?
Yeah, how you doing?
You had a sexual harassment suit filed against you?
Yeah, it was really the most ridiculous thing in the world. I received an email from a friend. It was a really good-looking girl, not even naked, and it said, just remember, fellas, somewhere somebody is sick of her hearing her S.
Right.
Okay? Kind of simple.
Right.
And I accidentally forwarded it to too many people in the office. I pushed the wrong button because I'm, you know, still computer retarded.
Right.
So the new HR lady who was, well, I guess you're allowed to say C word.
Mm-hmm.
She brings sexual harassment charges against me.
Right.
So I find out, and I get the chairman of the company to, you know, say that she should throw out that file.
What's going on in the background? You got some kind of mill, some sort of planing device or something? What's going on behind you?
I think there's a couple guys with leaf blowers. Let me just move.
All right.
How's that? Better?
That's better.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Anyways, so he says, okay, get rid of the file. It's ridiculous. 2 years later, I happen to see my file. Thing's still in it.
Oh, so you're an offender. You have to be registered now.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Sad. But I figured I didn't care. I didn't do nothing wrong, really.
Yeah.
The whole thing's ridiculous. And I support you not going, by the way. I wouldn't go.
Yeah, don't go. No, listen, there are all these things they want you to do. You don't have to do them. You just stand up and do it. We'll all be like Rosa Parks. They want us to go to the back of the bus. We'll not. We'll go home. That's what we'll do. And I'm going to need you to support me in this, Elliot Hahn. I may need you to represent me as well.
Adam,
yes?
Pleasure.
You think we could win?
I don't know. Let me tell you one case, apropos of Steve's. We had a client once. You had Laird Hamilton on here before.
Yes.
We had a client who had the Sports Illustrated bathing suit calendar on his wall one day. Mm-hmm. Woman filed a complaint with the state of California.
Yeah.
She won thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So the what goes on in the workplace today is just incredible. As
I
said, it really is. The state is looking for a totally sterile environment. And
I think we empower these nut jobs. And by the way, they're all victims from the past. Here's what happens. Let me explain how life works. The chick or the guy, but 9 times out of 10 it's a chick, gets molested by her dad repeatedly when she's young, sexually molested, and now she's freaked out and she walks around with her very fragile psyche, and then she's walking down the office, looks into the cubicle, sees the picture of the swimsuit model, goes and complains. These are all past victims, and now they're victimizing us. They're victimizing the same people. And what I say is, we need to, just like the ones, just like the people that say they have whiplash from the 2-mile-an-hour collision you had on the freeway, these people just need to be swatted. They're defective. We need to make examples of them, not reward them with money, not change legislation because they did this. We just take them out and beat the crap out of them. We need to fire them. That's what we need to do. We need to claim back our society, everybody. Let's stop it. Tell your cohorts to stop representing these people.
Elliot, how say you on this? You're going to represent, you'll really represent Carolla on this one?
I'd be pleased to do it. I think he's right. I think the state has gone way too far. Let me give you another example. There was a case about 5 years ago with the New York Times. Some worker sent some emails back and forth with jokes milder than the ones your caller called about.
Right.
The New York Times found about it and just fired everyone in mass. Employers take this today so seriously.
Right.
And it's become such a pervasive problem in the workplace. I agree. I think we've gone too far.
And employers are just scared, too. That's all. And they're scared of all the people that were victimized who are now going to take it out in society. We need to crush these people. Here's the deal, everybody. There's a handful of F-ups that are ruining society for us. Let's find them and crush them. The same as the terrorists. That's all we have to do. Here's the deal. Everyone is in society. Everyone's getting along fine. We're looking out for the one guy who wants to blow up the bank. The one guy who wants to blow up the bridge. The one guy who wants to take the airplane down. That's the terrorist. We want to find this guy. Well, this guy lives amongst us. It is the chick down the hall who's suing. It's the guy who's bringing up the frivolous lawsuit. It's the neighbor who can't stop calling the cops and telling you to turn down your stereo instead of calling you and telling you to turn down your stereo. Let's find these people. Let's crush them so the sane people can get on with our lives and enjoy ourselves. Instead of making room for these a-holes, let's crush them. And I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to this goddamn meeting.
Elliot,
that's
you're
all.
Signed on, though. That's
yes.
The bottom line.
Yes, I am.
You're signed on. You are going to be the Ed Norton to his Larry Flint.
That's right. That's what you'll be.
I don't know if I want to be Ed Norton, but that's exactly
right.
My
yes.
Role. Yes.
You will work for me. You will work hard, and you will work pro bono. Speaking of pro bono, where's that Larry Hamilton? I am definitely pro bono with him. All right. Thank you very much, Elliot.
Thank you.
You're one of the good ones.
Just the start
yes.
of this relationship.
All right. We'll keep you posted, but I'll not be going, and I beg all of you within the sound of my voice, do not attend these harassment meetings. Do not become sheep. Do not play along in this bizarre play society is casting, taking nutty people and treating us like we're taking sane people, I should say, and treating us like we're insane. We're not. We're normal. Leave us alone. All right. I'll see you guys in hell.
This is Candace Michelle, WWE's hottest diva and April's Playboy cover girl, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Dick Vitale, Dickie V. He'll be calling in, giving us a little update on the brackets, NCAA brackets. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. First, Republican representative from the great state of Ohio, Richard Martin. Good to see you again, Richard.
How are you?
Richard, we brought Richard in, and we do from time to time. There's a lot of topics, things coming up, things in the news to, we like to think of ourselves as fairly liberal over here, but why not offer an alternative to our
And I appreciate
point?
It, Adam.
I'm fine with it in theory, but I just don't like this guy. I mean, he's just so
well,
far out there.
But that's the whole thing. We're trying to balance the show, not
right.
Everybody's
your
opinions
show.
Are
Mr.
yours.
Mr. Damashek, I appreciate your honesty. I just want to let you know I don't care for you either.
Wow. It's not because he's Jewish, is it?
No.
Well, you took a minute before you answered, though. You did.
Well.
There was a little pause, that's all.
You're just an observant man, Adam.
You don't agree with those people.
Well, it must be.
I don't disagree with them. You know, they're the land of Israel is important, but as you know in the Bible, end days is an important event. If you look in Revelation,
sure.
And I would urge my Jewish friends to go and make their way on over to the staging area.
Yeah, so that'll be it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just saying when the second coming arrives, they're going to be the first to go.
There's two ships you can be on, and I think we know Mr. Damashek's on the one that's sinking.
Yeah, he's going to be on the Lusitania.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of the Middle East, you must be thrilled. We've just hit the 3-year anniversary of the Iraq War.
And things are going well. You know, we're getting ready to implement a new plan that's going to win the peace. And I'm celebrating the third anniversary. But what I like to do is I set up aluminum tubes in my backyard, and I just watch them change from a centrifuge to an aluminum tube, back to a centrifuge to an aluminum tube. And it's just optical illusions. I celebrate all the different things about the 3 anniversary.
That, festive.
Festive. Yeah. So there's some other topics here that we're going to discuss, things that are in the news.
Sure.
This story out of Kansas City where the school board is going to require a note from the parents for kids to be taught sex ed.
Amen.
Don't you think that's sort of a step backward for us?
Absolutely. And amen. We need to get back to a simpler time, Adam. You know, first of all, about the sex ed. You know, if you get kids interested in sex ed, then they're interested in sex, and they start having sex. Then you know, there's a danger they could become interested in evolution.
I see. You know, you don't want them going there.
That's a slippery slope.
And it's an avalanche.
Heaven forbid.
It's an avalanche of facts.
Yeah, but you know, they always do those studies where, well, if they put condom machines in the schools, then that's going to make kids more promiscuous. But it turns out it doesn't.
Well, I don't know where you're getting your facts. If you look in the Bible, I think you'll see that in Ezekiel's letter to, I think, is it Larry?
Yes.
I don't have one with me. But
I understand. It's in the car.
I'll email it to you.
Right. All right. The point is...
We need to get back to a simpler time, Adam. You know, I'm sure you saw that the United States baseball team lost handily to Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, how distasteful.
Yeah.
And you know why? You look in the stands, you know, nobody's wearing a suit. There's no more respect. You look back to the golden age of baseball.
Yeah.
A fella wore a suit.
Yeah.
You know, the babe would clink a home run and, you know, you'd take off your derby and you'd hand it to your porter and mop your brow.
Yeah.
It was a glorious time.
Yeah, I know. Guys with the starch collars and cufflinks out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But that's also calling back to a time when minorities weren't even allowed to play the
sport. That's nitpicking, isn't it, David? That's nitpicking.
I don't know.
Would it hurt you folks who dress like, you know, Jimi Hendrix is about to perform? Would it hurt you to wear a suit and a tie? I mean, this gal to my right, she's got a mini skirt, you know. Would it kill you to wear an ankle-length dress?
It just might, yes.
You know, you're walking around here, you know, with your uvula flying around like a helicopter.
Yeah.
There's no respect anymore for each other. It's a big sex factory.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the uvula, I'm not sure if the skirt length exposes the uvula, but I'm going to have to Bruska look that one up. But the point is she's beautiful. She has beautiful pegs, as Damashek pointed out, producer Angie. And why not show it off and be comfortable in the workplace?
Mm-hmm. But don't you realize it makes others uncomfortable?
Well,
don't you realize as a Christian, it makes me uncomfortable for her sexuality to be octopusing me across the room?
I understand.
Well, speaking of matters of sex, the big story of the week was in South Dakota.
Yeah,
sure.
And I'm sure you heard that. You know, it's now abortion now off the table.
Illegal, even in cases of incest and rape.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Even in a case of incest or rape.
Incest, let's look at it. You know, not only is this child, no single parent, no double parent, triple parent.
I see. So in the case of incest.
You got a father, a mother, and an extra father.
Right. I see.
That's a win-win-win.
You see, it's better. He'll have 3 parents.
You know, and rape, you know, it's an ugly topic, but God darn it, if that gal didn't want to bring that baby to term, she should have thought about that when she walked out of the house dressed that way.
Oh, now you're not saying, well, as you know, beautiful Angie
here's
in a short skirt. You're not saying she's asking to be raped.
Is that, well, I'm just saying, you know, if that's not parking structure attire, I don't know what is.
Wow. So you're saying...
If that doesn't say, turn the lights off and tell the security guard to take a break, I don't know what does.
Wow. Wow. So you're saying she's dressed promiscuously and is, in a sense, almost asking for trouble sexually.
I actually believe that skirt was designed in a stirrup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Angie, this is
Well, you
is
must,
very,
you know, yes. I mean, getting away from the, you know, the cold, hard reality. You must be enjoying this new show, Big Love, that focuses on the Mormons.
You know what? That's despicable. It's despicable.
Well, they're religious people. They're very religious.
Polygamy.
Old school.
Yeah. Polygamy, there's no place for polygamy. You know, I said to my third wife, Janice, I said, you know, these polygamists, they ought to have the decency. If you're gonna have four wives, have the decency to do it like I did, and do it one at a time.
Right.
That's,
yes.
You know, that's
see if you can get it annulled.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree. And furthermore, the guys that have the 50 some odd kids, not 19 kids, not 31 kids, 56 kids,
sure,
from four women. And who that, by the way, when does it become abuse as a parent not to know the name of your kid? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, how many kids can you take care of? How many,
sure,
kids can you love? How many kids can you show affection, mm-hmm, for? I would argue that as you got past the mid-40s, maybe you weren't spending the kind of quality time with each kid that maybe you could if there was just two or three of them in the family.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How do you know, tell a kid about the birds and the bees when, you know, the kid's face rings a bell?
Yeah. A kid. Yeah, you go down in your kitchen at midnight to get a snack. Your kid's standing there, and you think a prowler broke into the house.
Exactly.
You think the teenage
boy. Well, maybe
boy.
One of the many reasons that one of the countless reasons why abortion should be legal.
Interesting.
No?
David, no. Don't twist the facts. Don't try to use your liberal mumble jumble to you know.
Yeah.
Well, as a supporter of the Republican Party, how say you about this latest shame with the White House, with Claude Allen, the domestic policy aide, getting caught shoplifting from Target?
Well, I tell you, I red flagged him early on when he came through the doors. I said, there's something about him. I can't put my finger on it.
Oh, he's black. Is that what it is?
Is he? I wasn't aware. I didn't notice.
I think he is. Yeah, I've seen him on the news.
Is he a black gentleman?
Yeah, maybe that's what you... Maybe that's why you red flagged him.
Yeah, something about him. Something, you know, he just...
You didn't trust him.
I don't know if it was the boombox.
Well, I never seen him with a boombox.
Yeah, I think I saw him.
I think you see all black people carrying a boombox. I think that's part of the problem.
A lot of them do.
Okay. All right. I think that's a good enough note to go out on. I want to thank a Republican representative.
I want to thank
Ohio,
you, Adam.
Richard Martin, for
thank
coming in.
Thank you so
in.
Much.
You go to myspace.com/AskARepublican.
And it's all one word, Ask a Republican.
Ask a Republican, or you go to www.askarepublican.com. You find out more information about Representative Martin. Again, controversial, but thanks for adding some balance to the show.
Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be back. The Ed's calling in. Also, Dick Vitale, and much more after this.
Now it's time for free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Lights Out Tony, my mother has 8 grandchildren, 4 mine, 4 my sister's. One, however, is her obvious favorite. She spares no expense when it comes to my sister's oldest son, Johnny. She buys him extravagant gifts, praises him constantly, and hands him large sums of money in front of the other children. When my sister and I confronted her about it, she cried. She said she wouldn't listen to such hateful lies, then stormed from the room. Is there a way to help my mother see what she's doing to our family? Protective Mom in Texas.
Dear Mom, you and your sister should have formed a united front and put a stop to this years ago. As it stands, your mother has already alienated 7 out of her 8 grandchildren. And understandably so. If you're asking for my permission to protest your children from your mother's obsession with their cousins, you have it. And your sister should follow your example.
Free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
866-901-ADAM.
Can I tell you something? That Haseem Rahman, Lights Out fought Haseem Rahman over the weekend, and I watched the fight, and Haseem Rahman seemed to get the better of James Tony, but they called it a draw.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fight, one of the judges said the reason he went with Tony was because James gave him some help with a messy
advice.
Divorce. Yeah, it was going through, and he gave him some, and that's why he pushed him through. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
see, yeah, I was watching the fight too out of Atlantic City, and it was noted at some point in the fight that James had won a world championship belt 77 pounds lighter than he currently was. 77 pounds.
Well, all those 77 pounds, it is impressive no matter what, but those 77 pounds are all right around his waist.
Yeah, it's a little bit around the gut, but 77 pounds.
It's impressive, yeah.
If you think about what you would turn into if you put on 25 pounds.
I'll be in my head. I'd get the big Travolta or Ted Kennedy head.
Did you get a big fat head when you gain weight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Dave, who pointed out, not to be, didn't want us talking about on the air, but who pulled the back muscle climbing out of his car yesterday.
No, going to the cash machine, right? That's not what I was doing.
That's what you were doing.
No, I was ultimate fighting.
You said you're going to make up something. I guess that's it. The Ed, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ed is our listener, one of our first call-ins to the show. He's from Las Vegas. He works part-time, lives in an apartment across the street from the Palms. And we had him decide it'd be a good idea if he did a little reviewing for us, because we don't get a chance to watch everything. I didn't see Desperate Housewives last night. I watched The Sopranos, but I know you did, right, Ed?
Yeah, you missed a good one.
It was a good one. All right.
Yep, it's my favorite show on TV now.
Oh, it is?
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, you didn't even watch it before us.
I know. I don't know how you guys knew about this show. I'm at the bus stop on my way to work, so I got my paper here ready for you.
All right, on the cell phone today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son gave me one.
All right. Remember when just doctors had those things? And FBI agents?
They were huge.
They're huge, and they were flesh-colored, inexplicably flesh-colored. Oh, yeah, no, that looks like it's part of his head. That's why we'll make a flesh color. Just looks like a huge tumor is growing out of his cheek. Great. He's talking into a severed foot. It's basically what it looked like.
He's a doctor.
Like.
It's okay.
Yeah, just make all electronics need to be charcoal color, not flesh color. Yeah, he's a doctor's talking to a cadaver's foot. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, I watched Separate Housewives again, and at the start of the show, all the girls are having a party.
Mm-hmm.
Then Gabriella kisses the blonde-haired lady's husband. The blonde-haired lady gets really mad, mm-hmm. and then after the party, they all make the red-haired lady girl clean up. Mm. We found out her name is Bree.
Bree, right.
Yeah, and then the blonde-haired
They revealed lady, that on this week's episode.
Oh, they
her
did.
Name's Bree.
They did. They finally, three seasons in, they finally revealed their first name.
Stunning.
Wow.
The blonde-haired lady said to the Gabriella, don't kiss my husband no more. Mm-hmm. So they in a fight now.
Oh,
Lois got a new boyfriend.
Yeah, Lois Lane.
She seems to be turning into a lady who gets around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Trampy.
Then the red-haired lady's son, we found out he's a homo.
Oh, he's gay.
He is mad at him. He shouldn't be gay like that.
We don't call him homos. We call him vaginally challenged.
He's something.
Okay.
He was kissing a boy in public.
Oh, I think this was a rerun. I think I may have saw this one.
I think it is.
But they're all new to you, Ed.
Ed, you would never do that. No matter what, you would never kiss a boy. True?
My son, that's it.
Right.
Yeah, but not with your tongue.
It seems like everybody is gay on TV.
Yeah, it's really only 70%.
Well, Bobby Brown, he's not gay.
No, he's straight. Maybe too. Some would argue too straight.
They got a black neighbor now, and she locks her kids in the basement.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Then, listen to this. Then the red-haired, Bree, that's her name, she catches her son and a boy in his bed doing some more gay stuff.
Oh.
What is wrong with that boy?
Yeah.
And then the blonde-haired lady catches the Gabriella in her house with her husband. It's a crazy thing. And then some white man breaks into the black people's house and frees the kids in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Then he punches the kids in the face and he has a gun.
Wow.
Then he
Same as Abe Lincoln did.
Yeah. Yeah. Freed the
he
slaves.
He falls through the stairs. Mm-hmm. Adam. Mm-hmm. He falls through the stairs and he dies.
Yeah.
These black people are in a lot of trouble now because a white man is dead in their house.
Yeah, I know. if it's the other way around, it's no big deal.
That's never good news, that James.
Yeah, you're much better being a white guy with a dead black guy in your house than the other way around.
Hey, the Ed, how many boys you have? You have how many grown sons?
I've only got three grown.
Right.
And then one is 11 and one is 5.
What if one of them told you that he was gay? What would you do?
He better not.
Wow.
He better not tell that.
Powerful.
I would not talk to him no more, and I would not want my son to bring his boyfriend home for Thanksgiving. It was going to Turkey.
As we talked about, Ed is not homophobic. He's just set in his ways. We've decided that's
her. I don't even know a man that would kiss another man. Would Dave do that?
No.
He might for me.
He might. He might make out with Jerome Bettis, but that wouldn't be a sexual thing. I think that's more one Pittsburgh
adoration.
Fan.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So thank you.
That's right.
That's dirty.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
Listen, I gotta tell you the best part of the show.
Mm.
The black people put the dead white man in the trunk of the car, and they shut the lid, and they lock the keys in the trunk. Then two men start fighting in the street, and Lois sees it while she's driving, and she crashes into the black people's car. And after she hits the car, the trunk pops open, and everybody in the world sees the dead white man in the black people's car.
Right.
It looks as if these black people are going to be going to jail.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
I mean, the show is great, and I sure hope it comes on again next week.
Well, I think they're going to keep going. I'm pretty sure they're going to pick it up for at least one more episode, at least. Thanks, Ed.
Consistent. All right.
Nice job.
Guys have a good day.
Yeah, have a good day. Hope the buses are running on time. Watch it for us and check back in with us next Monday.
Okay, I'll call you.
All right, nice work. I just think, you know, you don't want to call a guy like Ed homophobic or anything. It's just, he's from a different time.
He's set in his ways.
Mm-hmm. He's set in his ways. Mm. That's all. That's just Ed being Ed. That's just Ed.
He's really whet my appetite for this separate housewives, whatever he
calls
it.
Yes. I'll tell you, if someone ever says he's from a different time, he's set in his ways, and then they say your name twice. That's just Dave being Dave. That means you're the world's biggest racist homophobe right there. It means you have no tolerance for anything but white males. You know, Dave's from a different era. It's a different time. And, you know, he's set in his ways. That's Dave being Dave. That's just Dave.
And you are one of the good ones, Adam.
Thank you. We'll take ourselves a break. Dick Vitale is going to be coming back to the show. So spirited last week. Going to be talking brackets. An NCAA tournament with Dick Vitale. Also news and sports and all that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you is. All right, Dick Vitale is going to be calling in. But first, now let me explain. Rachel Perry is doing a pilot for a TV show this morning. She will be back tomorrow.
She's playing a young scientist.
Oh, is she?
That's right.
Really?
That's right.
I mean, oh. Wow.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I read it online.
All right. Well, see, the more you know. We have our beautiful producer who some would say has a problem with alcohol, but I haven't seen it affect her work, at least not in the morning. She'll put the flask down.
It was
Angie,
a one-time thing.
Angie Fitzsimmons is going to be taking over, doing the news for today. And now, the news with Angie Fitzsimmons.
Australians are saying that Tropical Cyclone Larry hit like an atomic bomb. It was the strongest cyclone since 1974. Luckily, it only did extensive damage, but there were only minor injuries reported.
I don't think they have enough people over there to get hurt, do they?
No, it hit a northeastern city in Australia, but unlike the U.S. of A., which is supposed to be the richest and most powerful country, they had minimal loss of lives.
People evacuated, yeah. They had plenty of time.
But they also had the loss of dignity, as I mentioned before, of being hit by a cyclone named Larry.
Yeah, I know.
Followed by his pals, Moe and Curly.
I know.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Yeah, I agree. But let me say this.
What messed up your house? Cyclone Larry.
Tropical Cyclone Larry.
Yeah, if you can't put up a piece of plywood and stop Tropical Cyclone Larry, what can you do?
It's true. This is all your fault, you.
Yeah.
You're killing me, Larry!
Well, alright, I don't want to get political on everyone, so I'll just keep my mouth shut. But, you know, here's the thing about all our hurricane victims. Stop crapping out all the kids and get yourself an SUV that works. And how about take that approach in life? Hey, here's all I'm saying. All right, let me go on a quick jag here. You know what I'm saying? The government are a bunch of F-ups. Think about it. Everyone close your eyes and picture what is the government doing for you and what do you want it to do for you. I don't want them to do anything. They F up everything. You know, the people that are sitting in trailers in Louisiana waiting for the government to do something? I feel sorry for you because the government, I've seen the government at work. They don't work so well. They want your money and that's about it. Whenever you're counting on the government to do something, you're in trouble. Here's the thing. Don't count on the government to do anything for you. Get your own crap together. Stop playing the lottery. Stop crapping out the kids. I wow. see these people. They're sitting in trailers. They have a 6-month-old, a 1-month-old, a 1.5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. There's no dad around, and they want to know what the government's going to do when the propane gets shut off.
Well, if we've learned anything from the last 5 years, it's that we should not count on our government for anything.
No, they're F-ups. They just take your money and they go send it. They, you know, they give it to Enron.
Please,
and that's about it.
Please, can we go back? Can we have a do-over and have Bill Clinton come back, please?
Yes. Yes, then he'll take more of your money and try to get the government to see if they can do even more. How about you don't count on the government? How about you use some birth control? How about that? How about a little planning in life, everybody? How about it? Thank you. And then you don't have to worry about the government. Just worry about them taking your money. That's all.
I like it when you call yourself, when you say, like, I'm pretty liberal guy.
That's yeah,
pretty-
I am. No, look, I think you should be able to have a pot plant on the roof of your house if you want. And I think you should be able to, you know, I think you should be able to do as many drugs as you want when you're at home. And I don't like speed limits and I don't like all these government controls. But I don't also think they should be bailing you out either. Take care of your own ass, everybody, or have your family do it. Don't count on the man. Thank you. Thank you. The more you know. Now, I see these interviews from these people. They're sitting in trailer parks in Louisiana and they're saying, they're going to shut the propane off in 6 months. And then what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? I have 5 kids. I don't work. What am I supposed to do? What do you mean, what are you supposed to do? Get a goddamn job. And you should have thought about that before you start crapping out the kids. What do you mean, what are you going to do? What is anyone going to do? These people, I don't have medical insurance. I don't have car insurance. I got no home. I got no husband. I got 5 kids. What am I going to do? Well, perhaps you should have thought about that before you started crapping out the kids. Perhaps. Hmm. Perhaps. And you feel sympathy for these people. I don't. These are the criminals of the future. These are the guys that can put the shiv in the side of your kid when he's at the ATM. That's right. Stop crapping out the kids. And that way I would like the government to get involved.
Hmm.
Thank you. The more you know. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do, Dave? Got all these kids and no money. What are you going to do? And wow. Now they want to take away the propane?
It's a vicious cycle of poverty and yes.
Yes! Stop it! Stop knocking everyone up! Get some condoms going. Thank you.
Yesterday marked the 3rd anniversary of the war in Iraq. Over 2,300 Americans have been killed in the war, and it's already cost between $200 billion and $250 billion.
Ugh.
Here's President Bush reflecting on the last 3 years.
This morning I had a... today as well marks the 3rd anniversary of the beginning of the liberation of Iraq. And it's a time to reflect. And this morning my reflections were upon the sacrifices of the men and women who wear our uniform.
Touching.
I think it's officially...
reflected. You should reflect, because it's tough. It's tough over there. Reflexive.
Yeah. Reflecting. That's the guy who went in charge of bailing you out when the flood comes?
No. Not the guy I want. That's why I didn't vote for him, like all the other dopes in the world.
Listen, all the government has always been a bunch of F-ups.
All right.
They always have been.
Bill Clinton was not an F-up.
Hey, stop banging away, pull out, and buy yourself a raft. And don't worry about the government, because they're going to F it up royally. That's how it works. Thank you. The more you know. Look, I'm giving everyone a heads up. Quit crapping out the kids. Start putting some money aside.
The idea that the government is filled with F-ups doesn't mean that that's how it's supposed to be.
No, but that's how it goes.
Instead of filling it with evil criminals and morons, let's flesh it out with some.
No, they're not evil. But it's why the Soviet Union didn't work. What happens is anytime there's no competition and there's no competition when you're the DMV, you're not competing against other places. Is to issue driver's licenses. You know what I mean? When you take away the competition, then you get the person that can't be fired and they're apathetic and they don't care about you and they just stop doing their job. Whenever you remove the competition, that's what you get. That's why then you get the window. That's why when you open the phone book and you want a guy to come over to clean your carpets, there's no windows. I don't mean physically the windows. What I mean is the guy says he's going to come over and clean the carpets. He says he'll be there Tuesday at 9 a.m. sharp. That's how it works, because there's 1,000 other places you can call. But when you call the Department of Water and Power, the guy says he'll be there between 8 a.m. and 4 a.m. the following day. He has himself a 17-hour window. Why? No competition. That's how it works. And the government is like a business that doesn't have a competition. So, of course, they do horrible work.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Do not count on them, my friends. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he doesn't even feel he has to answer to the American people anymore, since about 11 people in this country still enjoy him. He now has turned things over to God. God will judge him in 25 years. Yeah. That's it. This is the most powerful man in the world. Is hanging everything on God.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I know.
This is it.
He's a moron. That's what I'm saying. Don't count on him.
All right.
Let me tell you what the government is. It's your no count, drunken, lazy cousin Chet. And Saturday's moving day. Here's what I'm saying. Hire a van and get some teenagers over to help you. Don't count on Chet. If he shows up at all, he's going to show up drunk and he's going to want to borrow money.
And maybe shoot you in the face.
That's right. That's right.
In celebrity news, Donald Trump is a 5-time father today.
Wow.
His wife gave birth to a baby boy this morning, and 20 minutes later, he was announcing it. Ran out, announced it right away. She's fine. Everybody's fine. And his quote was, "I continue to stay young, right? I produce children. I stay young."
Yes. Yes.
Angie, you're fired.
He is a world-class blowhard. But yet, I have affection for the man. I can't help it.
Ugh.
And I like Melania, his wife.
Ugh.
But enough with the pregnancy pictures, everybody.
Yeah.
She had the picture with her in the bikini climbing into the back of the Trump mobile. Yeah.
Tiny mall.
Yeah, it's weird. And I don't want to hear baby bump used again either. Thank you.
In a poll in Diva magazine found that Angelina Jolie is the number one sexual fantasy for girls who love girls.
Wow.
Number two, Portia de Rossi, Gina Gershon, and Queen Latifah was number six.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where must your self-esteem be as a lesbian to go ahead and put her in the top 10?
Jodie Foster was number five.
Is the queen a lesbian?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Oh, really?
Nobody will have to ask George Bush, because he speaks to God. Maybe get a little heads up on that. But I don't know where she's at, but the point is you don't have to be lesbian to make this list, right?
No, I'm just saying lesbians.
You have to be desired by lesbians.
The lesbian fantasy.
I am gay.
Right, but Portia de Rossi's inclusion leads me to believe that people are...
Yeah. I think you start off with your fantasy straight one that you'd like to win over, and then after that, you go gay.
And then Sharon Stone, Halle Berry, Charlize Theron, Salma Hayek.
Charlize and Halle Berry, and all below the queen?
After queen. Queen Latifah, Halle Berry, Charlize Theron.
Someone's got to straighten those lesbians out. And I'm just a man. Out of the way, Breska. I'm off the lesbian bird. Fire up the lesbomobile. Quickly, to the lesbian pole.
Now that you mention it, I've never really thought about this before, but Breska kind of looks like a lesbian.
He's got a little of that.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't know if they picked those frames up. But yeah, other than that, yeah, got a little of that.
And finally, last night in The Sopranos, Tony was shot. He's in a coma. His family rallied around him, and this is his son, AJ, talking to him.
Hey, Dad, I'm going to get Uncle Junior for this. Don't worry. I watched since I was little how nice you were to him. And he doesn't just get to do this to you. Put you in here and get away with it. You're my dad. And I'm going to put a bullet in his mommy head. I promise.
I think the F-bomb may have been used at some point in that soliloquy as well.
Here's the only reason I think Tony is going to die. The only reason he would not die at this point is that was such a heavy show last night.
Yeah.
It was gripping. I don't know how they would reestablish that level of intensity to have him die again, because it's got to be obviously the heaviest moment in the history of the show. He was all set up to die. Everybody gave their goodbye speeches to him, son, mother, wife, everything. Now I don't know how you go back to that and still have him kick.
Yeah.
That said, I think he's dead.
My wife was bawling through the entire episode.
Not during the creepy time when Carmela talked dirty to him.
She took a gulp during that period and then got back to her crying.
Okay.
And then was angry at me that I wasn't crying. And then got more angry when I started laughing. Thank you.
And that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. do it, Dave.
NCAA tourney all weekend long played out to yield 16 teams. The so-called Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
Among them, all four of the number one seeds, UConn, Villanova, Memphis, and Duke. That said, you can go ahead and throw out your brackets because all these other teams, George Mason and Bradley, certainly could not have been in anybody else's. Who cares, by the way, now that my two teams, Pitt and Indiana, are out of it. For the fans of UCLA and Gonzaga, who still are excited about their matchup coming this Thursday, I'm going to press on. And let me say in advance, you're welcome.
Takes a big man to do that.
Yes. And as I mentioned earlier, I didn't think it could get any worse because they show the same commercials. All it is one long commercial with a little bit of basketball sprinkled in there. And it's the same three commercials. The one about the Army, the kid telling his mother he's thinking about joining the force. And then that Applebee's one where the two guys are standing in the ocean playing guitar and singing a parody song about Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
That song is annoying. The first time you hear it.
Yes.
Now that I've heard it, a parody of it 3.7 million times over the last 48 hours.
It was officially effed out in 1978.
Please cut it out.
Please.
Please stop showing that commercial. NBA last night. Kobe outscored LeBron over in Cleveland, but the Lakers lost by a point. Sacramento also lost, so the Lakers and Kings are tied for the eighth spot with the Hornets hovering. Like a hornet,
yes,
ready to sting anyone who goes by the wayside.
Yeah.
The Axis of Evil in Dallas grew by one over the weekend. Terrell Owens, T.O., NFL's biggest jerk. I meant to say he joined up. He joined the unholy alliance that is the Dallas Cowboys. Day of the plastic-faced Jerry Jones and the potato-shaped creep Bill Parcells.
Yes.
Can you imagine being a fan of that team?
Oh.
How do you overcome dealing with those creeps?
I know. Jerry Jones is one of the creepiest guys in the world. Looks like he's had a bunch of plastic surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
Wears those rich guy collars where you wear a blue shirt, but it has white cufflinks and white collars that only rich guys own. Rich guys do that.
I'd like to take an opportunity if
evil
I might.
Evil rich guys.
I thought it would be a nice thing to, I know we're going to talk to Dickie V in just a minute, obviously, the guru of college basketball for the last couple of decades.
So guru.
If you have any questions for him, you know, he's going to be on in the next segment, so call up and I'm sure he can answer those for you. But I thought also we've been talking to Janet Gretzky. You know, she just was subpoenaed. You know, she, you know, Mrs. Gretzky, Janet Jones, is embroiled in this controversy with this gambling ring. You know, she was allegedly made $500,000 bet on the Super Bowl.
Wow.
You know, so she's a real lady. While, as I've always imagined, her husband Wayno is a Nancy boy. You know?
Well,
so,
you don't like him because people,
I don't like him. He's
overrated. Because you think Mario Lemieux because he played for Pittsburgh.
My reasons are my own, but it doesn't change the fact that he's a sissy.
All right.
But his old lady's out there, you know, throwing bones and making these heavy wages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she brings it heavier, not at all. And so she gave us some gambling advice on the Olympics. I thought I'd give her a call and see how the weekend went for her on the NCAA, see if she has any tips for us going forward. Let's dial her up here. Hope she's home.
Hello?
Hey, is this the Gretzky residence?
No, I mean, yes. Yeah. Who's this?
This is Dave calling from the Adam Carolla Show. I'm looking for Janet. She's our gambling expert.
Oh, this is not a good time. You're not going to want to talk to her. Yesterday was bad. The two-way parlay, it got ugly.
Who is it?
Oh, God, here she's coming up the stairs.
No,
she's nobody.
Let me tell you something, Copper. You can subpoena me all you want. You're not getting squat out of me. And you can tell the rest of the boys downtown that I said so.
I think we got our signals crossed. I'm just calling in to get your picks. I'm calling from the radio show.
Oh, Billy, sorry. I thought you were somebody else.
Dave.
Whatever. Bet UConn.
Wow, that was
Janet Gretzky.
So she says go UConn.
Yeah, what I find disconcerting about that was it sounded like she was beating Wayne.
He did seem abused.
I think she hit him. I heard
did you hear him scream?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, no, it's a syndrome. I've seen it on 2020.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
This just in. Bruska, producer Bruska, has himself a limerick on Dave Damashek. We started this on St. Paddy's Day on Friday, and it's carried over onto Monday.
It's time to be funny.
You got that? You got one
well,
for
Well, a little
Bruska?
Retaliation. It was supposed to be everybody needs to be forewarned. Everybody better, wherever you are, get in the most comfortable laughing position possible, because you might hurt yourself
and
otherwise.
You're hilarious, and so was that bit. But here we go. There once was this guy named Dave. Jerome Bettis is who he craves. He has a smelly toe, his bald spot continues to grow, and he masturbates to a woman named Mo. Oof. Mo being his mother.
That's his mom.
He met his mother.
That is grim.
Smelly toe.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. It just rhymes with Mo.
Ugh, please.
All right. Was that yours?
Yeah, that was
Of course it was. It was atrocious, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't bad, but if Lynch wrote that, I would have fired him, yeah.
But I didn't know. He's been working on it all morning long.
No, that's solid,
I just did it in 2 seconds.
No, that's good stuff. That's good.
Smelly toe.
I don't know. I just threw it.
What's that even mean?
It's just a way to get the Mo, that's all.
That's it. Fantastic.
Right. Well done. Let's take ourselves a break. We'll lick our wounds. Perhaps other things. We'll have Dickie. Dickie V's going to call in. Dick Vitale. All right. Please. Let's all get over it. Dick Vitale after this. Your cell phone was blowing up. You were bothering him about going out and seeing him perform at the Irvine Improv. Yes? You had a date?
I had a date.
I didn't know you had a date.
I kept it to myself.
Smart, but you understand, I have ears everywhere.
Yeah, that's David, what I found out.
Dag called me last night.
Tad has chins everywhere.
Dag called me last night, and he said Big Tad was out there. He had himself a date, and the chick was cute. Then he proceeded to explain how you bothered the hell out of him. But let's talk about the cute chick. Who is this girl?
Her name's Erica. She's from Mission Viejo. She works down in Huntington Beach at Sharky's. And
you're just trying to get to her for food, right?
No.
You want those crab tacos?
No. I met her on New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. and we've been exchanging emails through MySpace, and then we started talking on the phone, and we just hung out, and finally I said, "Well, why don't we go out?" And mm-hmm. she was like, "Sure."
How'd the date go? You went Saturday to the Improv to see David?
No, we went Friday. We went St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh. And, how'd that go?
The day went fine. It was just my legs were killing me and my feet were killing me after doing that bit the day before.
Doing a marathon and softball cleats?
Yeah.
Did you complain the whole time?
I didn't complain the whole time. Mm-hmm. I did tell her my legs were killing me.
Now, what happened? How did the date end?
Oh, I gave her a kiss and then...
What kind of kiss?
Just, you know, on the lips, and mm-hmm. she went her way and I went my way.
Now what? You know, you're out. And by the way, did you hang out with David Alan Greer after the show?
I introduced her to David Alan mm-hmm. Greer.
How was the show?
The show was awesome.
Dag was funny as usual.
Dag's hilarious.
And then when the show was over, you went over and said, "Hey, Dag, my main man," and did the fake handshake. And said, "I want to introduce you to my gal pal." And she was impressed, right?
Of course. Right. Had to do it.
And you guys were boozing because it was St. Patty's Day, right?
I had a couple of Guinness, but I didn't drink a lot.
Why didn't you go for a little more than the pack? Why didn't you go for it?
It was a first date. I was trying to be a gentleman.
Mm. Did you take her out to dinner?
We had dinner there. We actually had appetizers there.
You had to take
food from Sharky's and they ate it in the car.
No, what was... No. I was telling her, mm-hmm. Well, I didn't
she
tell
paid?
Her. I told her, don't worry, order anything you want. And she goes, "No, I have to pay my half." I'm like, no. Uh-oh. No,
that's a bad sign.
She
that's
wants
a bad
to be friends, sign. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to be, but you know, yeah. She didn't want me to pay for anything.
No,
for hers.
Yeah.
So I was like,
cuz then you'd expect something from her.
No. I honestly wasn't expecting anything.
But in her mind, she thinks that.
Yeah. Angie, if you're going out on a date with a guy, especially if the guy asks you out and you're into him romantically, mm-hmm. he's going to pay for the date.
Sure.
And it makes a statement. It lets him... He's the guy, I'm the girl, he asked me out, and this is the way this is going to go. Where is she, Tad? I'm going to talk to her. We'll get to the bottom of this.
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can get her on the phone.
Wow. This could take a while. Maybe I should talk to Dickie V.
Yeah, talk to Dickie V, and then I'll give Brian the phone number.
All right. Let's
Tad's
see
giving his blessing,
her.
Then, to you talking to Dickie V.
Thank you, Tad.
No problem.
Dick Vitale?
Thank you so much, Tad. I can't, you know, I thought he was going to expire by the fourth mile in the office marathon. It's good to hear he's still around.
Yeah, he's recovered. He's made a full recovery. And I'm sorry you had to wait. I just wanted to get to the bottom of that, see where it went.
Oh, that's all right. You know, I'm just living off the excitement of this exciting time of the year, Sweet 16. unbelievable. Did you watch it this weekend?
Well, I watched some of the games. Of course, Dave Damashek was chained to the TV.
Yeah.
Dave, that's the balding fellow, right? The balding like me?
Well, I would say maybe in a few years. You're a few years older than he is. He may eventually get to you, but it's not as big a deal as everyone says.
Not as big a deal as the smelly toe problem. I think I'm going to recommend him to my doctor, Dr. Rosner. You tell him Dickie V set you up. You understand?
Yeah. Now, Dick, we found out that his alma mater, Indiana, got tossed out, and then Pitt got tossed out, but there's still 16 teams left. Who do you like?
There are 16 teams. Speaking of the Sweet 16, did I ever mention I lost my virginity at a Sweet 16?
No, I didn't know that.
It did happen. It was Jackie DeLuca. I had a big bash. I remember it like it was yesterday. I had a few too many Mr. Pibbs. I took a walk over to the boys' room to drain the main vein, and just then from behind comes Jackie DeLuca, pulls down my pants, sends his isolation man right into my diaper dandy.
Wow.
Jackie DeLuca was a boy.
A very candid, very candid Dick Vitale.
I got to be honest.
Oh, Tobacco Road. Wow.
Dickie V working blue and getting beat by the censors as a result.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest for a second. You got 16 teams left. The West Virginias, the George Masons, the Bradleys, they got heart. They got determination. What they don't have is black players.
Right. Let's be honest.
This isn't a Yanni concert. This is the NCAA, baby. Stands for no college. You ain't advancing.
Right. Right.
You'll see a white team win the championship. It makes more sense to see Rachel Perry play a scientist. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's
Dickie V red hot.
Wow, he really is, and he obviously listens to the show. Must have it on the internet or something.
Oh, I love it. Listen, I got one bad eye, but I have two good ears, baby. And when it's all said and done, I really believe 2 weeks from Monday, 2 weeks from today, Coach Calhoun versus Coach K. Coach Calhoun will be cutting down the nets 2 weeks. It's not based on who's a better X's and O's coach. It's based on who has a bigger schlong.
Yeah.
I've seen Calhoun changing in the locker room. He could dipsy do dunkaroo that high riser into Dickie V anytime, baby.
Wow, again, a very candid Dick Vitale.
That's an instant cream puff delight.
Yeah. Normally just focuses on what's going on the hardwood, but, speaking of hardwood, he's got it into the locker room now. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Dickie V, I know you're a basketball aficionado, but what do you think about this whole T.O. going to Dallas thing? You have some thoughts about that?
You know what? Dickie V was a big Cowboys fan for a long time, and how many players can you have on a team that you hate before you have to turn your back on them?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if they sign Dr. Melfi as the kicker, I think I'm done.
Wow, Dickie V this close to leaving his beloved Cowboys. Dick, any final or parting thoughts before we go into the break here?
It's been a great tournament, and when March comes around, I can't help but to think. I get emotional thinking about my former lover, Jim Valvano.
Mm-hmm.
He would throw me over his shoulder. You have no idea how hot he'd get me down there.
Wow. A little Sopranos reference from Dick Vitale. Well, thank you. And I guess we'll check in with you later in the week, possibly next week. Keep us posted on this Sweet 16. Jim... I'm sorry, Dick Vitale, everybody. ESPN Game Day. Do not miss the very candid, sexually candid Dick Vitale. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break.
Yo, this is David Alan Greer, Daggy Roney, baby, and you are listening to the Adam Krakatoa Show.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Dag... David Alan Greer called me Friday, told me Big Tad was bugging him for tickets to go see him at the Irvine Improv.
I didn't bug him. I asked him when he was in studio. I asked him if I can get a couple tickets for me and my friend. And and then that night, I got there early, and there was my name wasn't there and everything. And I was just asking about it.
What Dag told me. I have no idea how many times you called him. He just told that to me. And then... he called me last night at about 9 in the evening, and he said that he saw you at the concert. He saw you at the comedy show. Mm-hmm. He hung out with you and your old lady a little bit after the show, a little meet and greet, and explained that she was Foxy, this new girl. Want to know what was up. Erica?
Yes, that's me.
Erica, you met Big Tad.
I sure did. Well, I've met him before, so it wasn't a blind date.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain yourself?
Yeah.
I'm not explaining myself.
How old are you, Erica?
I'm 24.
And David said you're foxy.
Wow, I'm flattered, actually. I'm blushing.
Yeah.
I don't know
if he graded you on the Tad curve or not, but the point is he said you were foxy. Tad, how say you?
Oh, she's very attractive.
Very attractive.
Yes.
Thanks, Tad.
Now, you insisted on going Dutch for the meal. Was there anything behind that? We suspect that's because you want it just to be platonic.
Going Dutch, you say? Well, we had a good night. We had some wine and he had some Guinness to celebrate St. Patty's Day, and... Mm-hmm. Wined and dined me. He was a wonderful date.
But why didn't you let Big Tad pay for it?
Oh, I see. Well, because I'm a lush, and I wanted to make sure that he knew I'd take care of my my habits.
Now, do you guys intend to go out on another date?
I believe so.
Oh, most definitely. Right, Tad? Yes, most definitely.
Most definitely.
All of a sudden,
he's become an attorney.
Tad wanted to go Dutch and Italian and Mexican.
He wanted to go and eat all the foods of the world. Yeah. Now, Erica,
yes.
Here's the thing. Are you just being nice, or is there any romantic interest in Big Tad?
I'm not just being nice. I love Tad. There's definitely interest there. I mean, it was the first date, really. Mm-hmm. We've met a couple other times.
But so. Romantic interest. Right.
Yeah, he's a romantic, and I love hanging out with him. So it's definitely on its way.
There's a chance that you two at some point might make out. Is that
or have sex?
Well, that's something I can't reveal.
Right? Yeah, Tad is a romantic.
Yes. Yeah,
spanking off at his parents' house on a daily basis. The porn that I gave him, by the way.
Whoa.
Yes, what a romantic. Hey,
hopefully it helps.
Well, Erica, now look, we're going to check back with you, so don't lie to us, and don't lie to Big Tad.
I'm not lying to him. You can ask him. He'll tell you the truth.
Now, he's got a lot of love to give, and it's been a while, so he's stored up a little love to give, and he's interested in you. And if you're just being friends with him, we'd like to know up front.
Yeah, that's just mean if you lead him on that way.
Of course, I would never do that. No, he knows that. I'm a big heart, and he's a great guy, so it's the honest truth.
Well, okay, let me just, sorry, but if you guys go out on your next date, and I would assume that'll be by this coming weekend, can he kiss you and use his tongue?
Well, Big Tad, he can, but we'll see. You can't force him to do these things.
Yeah, it'll be the first
time.
He
has to
do it willingly.
It'll be the first time he's used his tongue for anything but getting peanut butter off his soft palate, by the way.
I was going to say that before the next date, or after the next date, we should line it up for this week, have them go on the date, and then have her come in here, and maybe they could have their first kiss on air.
Well, you know, I do have, I was at the Morongo Casino and did the tongue off with Heidi Hamilton.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's.
Oh, there's pictures. So. There's pictures on her MySpace with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you have a rich history in tonguing.
Yes.
And
I do.
And not a discerning tongue, I might add.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with Heidi, but what I mean is you have no qualms about slipping the tongue to whoever's in front of you. All right. All right. So Tad, why didn't you go for some tongue then?
I was being a gentleman.
Oh, Tad.
I was.
But let me explain something. A woman wants a man who's assertive, who's going to take her in his strong arms and carry her away, not ask for permission.
She's going to take me in her strong arms. You should see the guns on this girl.
Okay, now you're scaring me. Erica.
By the way, she's a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah, all right. Dave, I love you for that. Go Steelers.
When are you guys going out on your next date then? Tad, ask her now.
How about this Friday? Would you like to go out with me again?
This Friday? That would be wonderful.
All right. All right. Well, you guys figure out what time Mom's going to pick her up. We'll work
Red Lobster?
Out. Yes.
All right. Let's push it up by a day so that then she can come in and visit us on Friday.
Thursday?
Yes.
All right, we'll go out Thursday.
Can she go Thursday? Yeah.
Can you go Thursday?
Sure can. All right. I can go Thursday.
The first picture of Lobsteritas will be on the Ace Man, by the way. Yes. All right, Erica. I want some tongue action, Big Dad.
All right.
No, I mean now. Me and you.
You and me.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll keep you all posted on this. I want to thank Laird Hamilton for coming in. The hunky Laird. All aboard the crazy train, out on DVD as we speak. Republican from Ohio, Richard Martin. www.ask.com. a Republican.com is where you go. I want to thank Elliot Hahn, our attorney, and of course, Elise Eberwein, our VP from U.S. Airs, for helping us out. And Angie Fitzsimmons for doing a great job filling in for Rachel and doing the news today.
Thank you.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.